convene the February 14, 2012 special magistrate proceedings for the City of Daytona Beach. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes from January 10, 2012 and have approved them for signature. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn? Following the format we utilized at last month's meeting, are there any announcements I need to be made aware of before we proceed to the agenda?
As far as being compliance is on the agenda, I think there's two that we need to add.
Okay, which one were those?
Number 14, William Carson, 209 Pierce is in compliance. Number 5, Robert James Spano, 117 South Halifax, that's in compliance. As far as anything different on the agenda.
Okay, and with that, let's proceed to our agenda. And our first case is 817 Lewis Drive, Bryant and Geraldine Boumenlag. Requestor, Bank of America. Anyone here for the respondent?
The Remax.
Not taking any action.
If I remember right, this is one where they were working on a closing.
They're requesting this as a partial release, actually, from an encumbered property in Orange City that they are trying to close. It was the lien property here in Daytona and the Orange City property were owned by the same person. They were both foreclosed, but the bank that foreclosed on the Orange City property neglected to include our lien in their foreclosure process, so it's still encumbering.
Mr. McKelzer, I think what we're rather doing is it's not moving on it. Go for it. Give them a see if they show up late for some reason. If I remember right, they called the team very much desiring to get something resolved.
And emailed the lien review request form, and I sent them a copy of the agenda. I'm not quite sure.
All right. Then I am just going to not rule on it, given the.
Okay. Not just that aspect we move to the end of the agenda and they postponed to see if someone may be confused about time or location.
I'll move it back to the agenda. The folks will remind me it's there. Moving on to the next case, 400 Beach Street Acquisitions LLC.
Good morning. My name is Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number SMG12-09-88, City of Daytona Beach versus 400 Beach Street Acquisitions LLC. Property address is 300 North Beach Street, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 04-153-3011-70061. We're here for progress report.
Officer, James Stowers, Cobb Cole, 150 Magnolia Avenue, here on behalf of 400 Beach Street Acquisitions, LLC. Where we stand now, we've got Rick Hagberg here with Cardinal TBE this morning. Cardinal TBE is managing the demolition process. They're meeting this morning at 11 a.m. with five different contractors that have responded to bids that were put out over the past couple of weeks. Those bids range from $150,000 to $250,000 to bring down all nine structures throughout this assemblage of properties. And I want to go back to September when we had the hearing discussing 300 North Beach Street, and I stipulated and we all agreed to expand the demolition efforts to the entire property. And at that point, you gave us 6 months, and we said, let's take them all down. And we stipulated to that. Since that time, probably the biggest impediment was getting the concept of the scope of the demolition agreed to with the city. And so that process concluded in January when the Downtown Redevelopment Board unanimously approved the scope of the site restoration demolition plan. And so I want to put that into context of this 6 months, that there was a great deal amount of time went into the planning related to that site restoration demolition approval process. Since that time, the client has mobilized the bidding contract letting process, and we have found, as we suspected, environmental issues on this site. We continue to go through with the rezoning process. We just resubmitted last week for RDD3 rezoning for property, including this area. And I understand that's all outside the scope of this special magistrate hearing related to this particular building in our agreement, but I just provide it to you for context of all the moving pieces going on with this. So we've got all these processes going forward. We've got, they did find asbestos in, I believe, five or six of the nine structures. And so to go through that asbestos abatement process adds time to where we are now with the bid process and getting the project mobilized for demolition. We're at February 14th, and we expect we can get permits in and begin work within the next five business days. The question, as I talked with Colleen Miles this morning, that arose was, can you or can you not meet the full demolition scope by March 7th? And we don't have a high confidence level that we can do that by March 7th. Now, it might be March 10th, it might be March 15th, but the question then becomes, we're now demolishing buildings across from Bike Week, where there are a variety of events going on, as you know, all the kiosks and things, and this is right across the street. And so the question is, really, should we proceed in all hopes of meeting that deadline, with the possibility that we'll pass that deadline and now either stop or continuing demolition work because we now have a running fine starting March 7th, or do we make the request for a 60-day extension and agree to that this morning and know that the day the Bike Week ends, we'll begin the demo work, the contracts will be, everything will be wrapped up at that point. And in fact, it's possible we could do the asbestos abatement work during that time frame, because you're not talking about heavy demolition. And so that 60-day extension would give us the opportunity to meet whatever we may conclude this morning, but also keep in mind the bigger picture with Bike Week. And again, this was not some you know, the bike week thing, I think, I was at that meeting back in September. You were at the meeting. I think the six-month extension was, let's do this in good faith, get 6 months. Will that be enough time? You asked me. I said I was confident it would. And here we are. And it, unfortunately, I don't think it will have been enough time. And so now the question is, can we extend it for another 60 days? And I'm happy, and I'm sure you will expect an update in March, and then an update at that final, following that final conclusion, and hopefully we have that, compliance date set before that 60-day extension. But those are my thoughts on this.
500 this year, February
26th. Yeah.
When's bike week?
March 9th through 18th.
Okay, talk to me about the asbestos abatement. I mean, how does that, focusing on the original program, just for the time being, so I can get some perspective here, how serious a task is the asbestos abatement?
I'll have Rick come up and talk to that.
I'm talking about time and effort here. In
sure.
other words, what extent would it impact your otherwise March 7th completion date?
Good morning.
Throw all this into the mix and figure out what we're doing.
State your name, please.
Yes, Rick Hagberg.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It is.
You said Hagberg?
Hagberg, H-A-G-B-E-R-G.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. The impact the asbestos abatement may have on the project is there are several notifications that will be required to the FDEP to notify them of the presence of friable asbestos materials within those buildings. And because of that friable asbestos, it'll have to be managed and abated in a very particular way to make sure that there's not a release of asbestos fibers and other things.
Okay, this is something you would have factored in all along anyway.
Well, I don't believe that there, to my knowledge, I don't know if anybody knew that there was asbestos in the building, but as part of the environmental due diligence that we helped support the project, we did find that there was some asbestos materials in six of those buildings.
Okay, so if you quantify the significance of this asbestos, how many days would you estimate it would add on to your March 7th date? If you just use that March 7th date for the time being as the end date.
All right, there's two specific notifications required. One is a 10-day notification for demolition and 10-day notification for the asbestos abatement. So I just spoke with DEP this morning to see if they were going to require us to run those dates concurrently, would allow us to run those concurrently, or would they be run linearly? He said, well, since there's two different contractors probably going to be doing the work, he would probably request that they be two separate 10-day notifications. However, there is one contractor who can do both the abatement and the demolition, and if that contractor is awarded the project, those could be run concurrently. So there could be a potential at least 20 days associated with just the notification and permitting required before we could start the abatement.
That's at the outside.
That's correct. It could be as little as 10 days depending upon the contractor
and
that's chosen.
20 days, which is the worst case scenario, then you still easily anticipate a completion date within 60 days? Any other environmental factors that we need to be aware of, or any other glitches that may occur along the way that we need to talk about now?
Well, there are environmental factors. There are tanks. There's the asbestos issue. There are lift stations. And then there are other environmental issues. There's been a phase one completed for the property. Cardinal TBE was selected as the demolition manager for this project because of their environmental expertise. They will be monitoring the demolition efforts as they take place so that if there are issues that arise, they can stop the process and we can deal with that. But, you know, the unfortunate thing about this property is you're talking about gas stations over the last 80 years, you're talking about car dealerships, and these are the challenges.
I understand. I just want to know how confident you are in this additional 60 days that you're asking for. We because you do have this hocus-pocus of environmental issues out there.
Sure.
Which I can only assume you very capable gentlemen have already taken into consideration and anticipated. In other words, if I consider the 60 days on the 59th day, I don't want to hear you standing here saying, now we're going to need another 60 days, or now we're going to need another 90 days, because we just discovered we had contamination under one of these lots or something like that.
Well,
so that's why I want to know, how confident are you now that you've already nailed down all the wild cards here?
I believe we've nailed down the wild cards, and we can have these vertical structures brought down within the 60 days. And you know, as I said at the outset, we're now at the point where we can proceed and come as close as possible to that March 7th, but then again, we're going back into getting overflow issues with Bike Week and so forth. And so the question is, if we get that 60 days, we mobilize the day after Bike Week ends, and we get this knocked out.
All right. City, want to be heard on this? If so, who wants to say something?
The city agrees with whatever you agree to, and but they're not going to be able to make the date. The date that you set for them to be finished. In other words, they're not going to be able to make that date, as they said, and that's all we can say. We're going to go with whatever you want.
Well, there's also an element here that, quite frankly, is probably somewhat unique. I don't know what's left of Bike Week on Beach Street, but I got to believe it's going to be an inconvenience to whatever is left of it. I don't know if that's a huge consideration or not. I suppose it would be if I was one of those businessmen down there. But, okay, they've mentioned asbestos. They've mentioned environmental conditions. Are we all satisfied that the amount of time that they're asking for should be ample to cover all these things?
If that's what they say, that we'll go with what they say.
So your revised plan would be to basically start demolition after Bike Week ends?
Yes.
Okay.
Any of the windows and stuff that are open now before Bike Week and to, you know, this week, we'd like them to board everything up so that it's nice and tight for Bike Week.
Well, I'm assuming everything's going
it's
to be
not.
Secured.
Well, I mean...
Well, Counselor, I trust you understand it has to be secured in the interim.
Yes.
You suggested perhaps doing the asbestos work nonetheless?
That was just a comment. I'm not sure anything, you know, the idea is to get this done as soon as possible.
I'm not requiring that. I'm leaving it, I'm deferring to you, gentlemen.
All right.
As far as how to get it done. So I just wanted to be clear on that. So, okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and amend our current amended order of non-compliance. To allow the respondent until May 2, 2012. That's what 60 days translates into around here. Is that still going to work?
Correct.
Okay. May 2, 2012, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And in the interim, let me remind you that the place has to be secured to city standards. Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, case number two is in compliance. Case number three, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? This matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the respondent.
Good morning again. James Stowers, Cobb Cole, here on behalf of GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Mike Woods provided the last update. He was unable to be here this morning, and so he asked me to attend. My understanding after reviewing this file is that there were three outstanding issues back in December: the parking and yard violation, dorm living, and no occupants, occupational license. My understanding is the dorm living issue has been addressed, the occupational license has been addressed, and we're now down to the parking and the yard issue. At the December hearing, I believe that the contemplated resolution was to get with city staff and attempt to somehow expand the driveway area. I know in our files, I in my review saw a proposed expansion of the driveway area. I think that based on our review of the code, that is not going to be a reasonable solution. The driveway for a single family home, maximum width you're talking is 20 feet. And so simply paving over the entire front yard area is not going to address this issue. It will, well, it could address this issue, it will create other issues. And so that process was a dead end, or that resolution, I should say, was a dead end. And my understanding also is that in the past week there have been some other issues raised. There's an issue of police reports, which my understanding, speaking with the client and with Mr. Woods, we will have those documents by tomorrow from the police department, and that will give us a better sense of what potential other issues there are at this site, at this location. And so, you know, the question is, what do we do in the interim? I have asked, and Mr. Woods confirmed, and the client confirmed that they have, the garage is accessible for parking cars. They have, you know, the space in the driveway as well. And so, if the my question at this point becomes, and I spoke with Officer Sykes earlier, if the client speaks with the tenant and they modify their behavior and have cars in the driveway, cars in the garage, and not in this gravel area in their front yard, which I understand is gravel, but it is the yard, and they can't park there, how do we address that? If there's a running fine on a day-to-day basis, you know, on one day there may not be anyone in the yard, and on the next day they park in the yard, you know, we're trying to figure out how to implement this in a way that addresses the issue.
What's the city?
Back in December, after our first meeting, we spoke with the management company. They was going to get with zoning permitting to see if they would be allowed to pour concrete or use some other type of surface. As of today, this morning, they had not contacted permits nor zoning. There have been 33 calls for service at this address since police have come out 33 different times.
Why are the police coming out?
Noise complaints, parking, narcotics, firearms. It's a real bad situation. And just yesterday, myself and Officer Collins, we had to go out and assist patrol at the same address. And what we're asking for today is a fine of $250 a day until they come into compliance, which may mean utilizing the two-car garage as well as the double-wide parking area that they choose not to use. And they know this. We pass this information on to management as well as to the owner himself, to utilize the parking that's available, and they chose not to.
Okay. You're looking for a $250 a day fine.
Yes.
Commencing from when the respondent was supposed to be in compliance on February 8th.
2-8, yes.
So is it your testimony that they had continued parking in the yard
Yes.
Continuously from
February 8th
right up to the present, and that's still an ongoing concern.
Yes, sir. This photo was taken yesterday while we was out doing our
operation. And how does the respondent come into compliance?
Basically, the easiest way is to remove the cars.
And they remove the cars, they call you up for an inspection, the cars are gone, so you say they're in compliance.
And then I will come
that
back.
That fine ends.
That,
and
that
then the cars come back.
No, well, what I do, come back, put them in compliance, come to ask you for a will fine, and explain to them what a will fine is and what it would do, and you take it from there.
I guess I'm just having a little trouble understanding the usefulness of the backwards fine as opposed to a forward fine. Okay. Is it Mr. Stowers?
Yes.
All right. Is the illegal parking continuing to this day?
Based on the photo, I would say yes. I drove by
photo taken?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
I drove by the property yesterday, and there was one, that car in the driveway was there. That was the only car I saw, but the picture is what it is. You know, I think, you know, the calls, narcotics, firearms, those are things, while I appreciate those issues, this is a fine for the driveway issue. And, you know, I would ask, we would request a fine somewhat reduced from the $250 a day, but also with the caveat that what can we do to resolve this so that it is known that they're not parking on the yard one day versus the next, because as you raised the issue, if there's no one at on a given day, they call, it just becomes a game of cat and mouse, where on one day they don't have cars parked in the yard, on the next day this happens, and the code is just coming back and forth.
I hate to be such a stickler for evidence, but I guess the question that bothers me is, where's the proof that all those cars were parked at that yard on every day for which a retroactive fine is being requested? Now, I have a photograph of one day for sure, so without doubt, I can sit there and say, well, that's worthy of a $250 fine. And I most definitely understand the utility of a will fine going forward, letting them know that for every future occurrence, they're going to be fined, and letting them know right here and right now, it's going to start at a severe level. I guess but my point is, if there is any concern over what we do here being reviewed elsewhere, I have some concern over assuming all those cars have been at that location for all the days for which a fine is presently being sought. Am I missing something?
Yeah. Well, I kind of think so, Mr. Vakelja.
Right, go ahead.
I think historically we've always relied on certain things once we've brought cases before you and asked for you to make a finding of noncompliance and instruction for people to come into compliance. One is that when they come into compliance, that we're notified and we're able to verify a compliance. One, in this situation, that hasn't occurred. One of the challenges we typically have...
The attorney, right over there, just told me, and he's a sworn member of the Florida Bar, that he went by and there was one car there.
But that's not what the
compliance.
Understand, but that's not what the complaint is. The complaint is that they're using an area that they're not permitted to park in as parking.
And he tells me they weren't there when he went by.
For a spot moment, you're saying that they may not have been there for a spot moment.
Okay, and I'm not naive. I'm assuming these cars are there all night long, probably.
And that's my response to that, Ms. Vakelja, with a... Unless it's a disabled vehicle, vehicles will come and go. That's the nature of vehicle and parking. But as a practice or utilization of the property, this property is being used as a regular this area of the property is being used as a regular practice of the occupants as the area where parking is taking place. And what this testimony from the inspector is that even as recent as yesterday, that practice is still continuing as the normal practice of the occupants to use that area as parking. Understanding that cars are mobile and there's a spot time when someone's going to leave and that parking space may be vacant, but when they come back, they're utilizing that area as parking. And that's the nature of the testimony. And I think that it would be reasonable for you to be able to conclude until someone shows or indicates that this is not the area that's being utilized. They did make some efforts. There was the suggestion of establishing places or that would be approved or authorized, and that they weren't able to establish. They've expressed alternatives, parking inside the garage and parking in the areas that they're authorized to park. But up to this point, those haven't been shown to be the methods that they've used, but they've continued to use the areas that are not authorized, as again, as their practice. And I would think until they show that not to be their practice, that a running fine would be a reasonable penalty until they show that that's not the practice.
A running fine?
Well, and let me say this.
Something we acknowledge is an intermittent violation.
Well, see, I don't agree that it's intermittent if it's continuous in its use. The practice here is as a use. It's the practice of parking in an area where it's not permitted to park.
When does the use end? When the cars are gone?
When that's no longer the practice, whether they elect to put barricades up, elect to create alternative parking. Right at this point, what we're left with is somewhat, is again, the testimony being what we're left with is a reoccurring. And I believe we had, the inspector hadn't been able to come forward to answer your previous question, but I believe he'll have additional photos showing, even as we speak now, he's indicated he has additional photos showing other dates and times, that it's not just the one photo, but it's something that the inspector is able to go on and reaffirm. I think to create the burden of saying that an inspector would have to stand there and watch and make sure vehicles are there 24/7 is an unreasonable burden to put on the city.
Said the vehicles had to be there 24/7.
I understand.
It's an intermittent violation. It's an intermittent cure. You drive by tomorrow and you see cars parked where they're not supposed to be. That's a violation. And someone ought to cite them for a will find, assuming there was a will find in place. It's the carte blanche penalty that you're asking for that I'm having a problem with. How many times since February 8th have you been by that property and seen cars parked where they weren't supposed to be?
Been by several times.
Give me a number.
More than a dozen, but 14 times or so.
Since February 8th, you've been by there 14
times. Oh, February 8th, I'm sorry.
We're in the penalty phase.
Right, I understand.
That's why I say February 8th.
Twice.
Twice.
Yes, sir.
So there are at least 2 days that you can speak to and swear to that you've seen them in violation since February 8th.
Yes, and one set of photos for those days, but yes. And
I don't care about photos. Your
okay,
what? Well, fine.
Okay.
How many times have you driven by and seen them in violation?
Since the 8th? Yes, twice.
Okay.
And also, I would like to say, too, that these photos range from June up to yesterday where the violations have still occurred. We have June, October, November, I believe December, and February as well. And you always see cars are always parked there. They are students, so they will be leaving, going to class, but they do return.
And when they do, they park in their
That's where they park. Correct.
And they've been warned.
Several times.
Okay. All right, Counselor, do you want to be heard on the fine aspect here? I've got a witness here that can say for certain at least twice since February 8th, after your people have been warned repeatedly, they parked illegally.
Sure.
And I'm sure he's going to be asking for a will fine as well.
I appreciate the consideration you've given this in terms of the intermittent fine versus the running fine, given the circumstances with the parking issues. I would request for penalties since February 8th a fine of, I would request $100 per incident, be levied with a will fine of $100 per incident going forward when these instances occur in the future. The $250 a maximum fine for the parking issue, I understand we want to bring properties into compliance. My hope is that $100 per incident will address this situation and it will resolve itself, whether through alternative means of parking or the tenants seeking other accommodations.
This goes back to June of last year?
Yes.
How does the respondent come into compliance?
Utilizes driveway, also that two-car garage, and stop parking on unapproved surfaces. And he can.
So he calls you up. He asks you to come inspect his property.
Mm-hmm.
He tells his buddies, take your cars and get lost. You show up. There's one car in the driveway. He's in compliance. And then the running fine would end.
More so. I would still do my inspection to make sure. But yes.
You continue to inspect it, but now you're in your will fine.
Correct.
All right. Again, I'm just having a little trouble with the awkwardness of this. Trust me, I think it can be addressed, and I think it's going to get resolved. I just don't know that that's the method by which it happens. All right. Anybody else want to say anything else? Okay. All right. I'm going to impose a fine in the amount of $500. That is based on two confirmed violations that have occurred since February 8, 2012. And for every future violation, the respondent is going to be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000. And I want the record to reflect the fines going forward are going to start at $250, and they're going to be progressive after that. In other words, if $250 per violation doesn't keep the activity from happening, then we're going to start upping the fine until it stops. Okay.
No, we didn't make this argument, in the future, we would think, just based on past practice, that for each vehicle we would be looking to, or at least seeking of it, to determine if the magistrate that that's an occurrence that each vehicle is parking off in an unauthorized location on the property.
Well, you show me a picture of a car parked anywhere than in the driveway, and that's going to be at least $250. How many consecutive, concurrent, stackable violations there are? You present me the ordinances, the regulations, say you can do it, that's all I need. Okay. Counselor, try to impress upon your client, and I'm not unmindful of the fact that we have police involvement here as well. So this situation needs to be cured immediately because the fines are going to escalate rapidly, very rapidly. And so with that, please counsel and report it.
Thank you.
And this, because it is a little awkward about this, one more thing of clarification. You're imposing this based on the occurrence, which would mean that if this record goes out there tomorrow and there's vehicles there, then that's a new occurrence.
Got it.
So basically, in the position of instantaneous expectation of compliance.
I haven't found him to be in compliance, so as far as I'm concerned, he's still in non-compliance. Consequently, your people still need to call for an inspection. inspector still needs to go out there. He still needs to satisfy himself that there is at least a moment where everyone's in compliance. And from that point on, then we're in the we'll find scenario. So if you go out there and there's a bunch of cars there, then they're not in compliance, for starters. And then I guess they need to be brought back for imposition of another fine.
Okay. Thank you.
If there's a more efficient way of stamping out cars, let me know. I'm anxious to hear it. But I guess we'll just have to muddle through.
I'm not trying to prolong this, but just one point of clarification. So there's a $500 fine currently that they need to pay for previous violations.
We give compliance today off. Okay? Because somebody mechanically has to call somebody. So I'm going to tell this inspector, come tomorrow morning, he's free to go out there. And whether you are in noncompliance or whether you're in violation of a will fine order, I don't care. If he goes out there and the cars are there, I'm expecting him to haul your clients back in here, and then we're going to start talking about what these fines are going to start raising to. All right. So
thank you.
You got the day, if you will, to tell your client to clear everything out, because the inspector's coming out at the crack of dawn tomorrow or whenever he wants. I'm not here to tell you how to do your job, but the inspector's coming out sometime tomorrow to inspect, so I'll give you a day at start.
All right. I got to go make a call. Thank you.
Okay, case number 4. Roy and Janet P. Lesage.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins. I work for the City of Daytona as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file. We're here for case number SMG 12-11-125, Roy and Janet Lesage. I don't know, Lesage, versus the city at 116 South Grandview Avenue. The city is looking to amend this for 30 days. She did talk about how her husband worked out of town. She has done the one side where the stairways, but the other side is the one she talked about having to get the ladders and the equipment to do the painting and the scraping. That side needs to be done yet. She has been in contact with me and kept in touch with me. She didn't know if she could get off work today, and she's asked for an additional 30 days. We're in agreement. She has shown good faith.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to March 7, 2012, to come into compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you.
Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6, Julius Horvath. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, let's say the city.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are now with the city. This is Special Magistrate Case Number SMG 011201, Daytona Beach versus Julius Horvath. Property address is 1014 Berkshire. Parcel ID is 12153205000040. Violations are outside storage and no occupational license. All statutory requirements have been met. Green card has been signed for. Have had verbal conversations with both the tenant and the owner. We're here today to impose a fine. I have had, this case is a case of musical chairs. I go out for outside storage of firewood. Most of that disappears. Household goods appear, filling the entire yard. Household goods, having another discussion with them, household goods disappear. Now we've got an outside barbecue cooker and trailers, and it's one thing goes, something else comes. It's never free. It's never in compliance. I always am told every single time that it's going to be brought into compliance. They're going to take care of it. They never do. I am looking for a fine of $500 a day with a will fine once they do come into compliance, and a $250 one-time fine for no occupational license.
Well, we'll What are they still in violation of?
Outside storage, yes, sir.
So they didn't come into compliance?
No, sir.
They were supposed to be in compliance by February 8th?
Yes, sir. This time.
$100 a day.
Actually, I was looking for $500.
Fixed amount?
A day.
$500 a day.
It's a mess. It continues to be a mess. Animal control's been out. Police have been out. Living next to that has to be a nightmare, and they just don't want to address it.
Property?
Tenant.
Pardon?
Tenant. I've talked to both the tenant and the owner. Both agree. Every
response not here today.
I have no idea. I talked to the owner and told him that even if it did come into compliance today, and I was out yesterday and it was not, that I was going to be looking for a will fine. So I'm really, frankly, surprised that the owner's not here.
And in your opinion, the $500 a day is warranted because this person's akin to an habitual offender?
Yes, sir.
You've been dealing with this since October of 2001?
Yes, sir.
And it would be a relatively simple task to come into compliance, but apparently they just choose not to do so.
Yes, sir.
Respondent the sum of $250 per day, commencing February 8, 2012, continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. Once the property is in compliance, I'm also going to order that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000. And I'm also ordering the imposition of the one-time $250 fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Pardon? And the fine will continue to accrue until the respondent is in compliance or the fine amount reaches the sum of $15,000. Okay?
Thank you.
Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9 is in compliance. Case number 10 is in compliance, which brings us to case number 11, George Stafford II and Marjorie Stafford. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson. I'm a code enforcement inspector with the city. My qualifications and credentials are on file. This is case number SMG 01-1208, City of Daytona Beach versus Stanford George II and Marjorie Stanford. Property address is 537 Heinemann Street, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID is 52384600-0300. We are here to talk about the violation of the parking in the yard. The condition has not changed. I did receive a call from the grandmother Monday of last week requesting more time because the daughter was apparently trying to sell that vehicle that's parked over there on the side, and they needed some parts in order to get the car to run. As I recall, the last time they were here, they said the only thing that was needed was a battery. now all of a sudden that there's just parts. So the city is asking for the imposition of a fine of $50 per day to be capped at $10,000.
Based on our inspector's report, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $50 per day commencing February 8, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the respondent is in compliance or the amount of the fine, owner-occupied or non-owner-occupied?
Owner-occupied.
Until the amount of the fine reaches $10,000. That it? Case number 12, David Walker. Okay, yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn. All right, this case was continued from our January meeting to allow the city to provide a supplement. Notice of violation of the outstanding violations that exist since respondent's permit has lapsed. So I assume you've been provided a supplemental list of violations.
I have.
So the question now is, do you agree these the violations existed or occurred as stated in the supplemented violation?
I do not.
You do not. So you are going to contest that these violations exist?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. All right, let's hear from the city first then.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the city. My qualification is on file with the city. This is case number SMG-01-12-09, City of Daytona Beach versus David Walker. The property address is 147 Kingston Avenue. Parcel ID is 5338-1400-0020. We're here to talk about the lack of permits on this property for the work that needs to be done on the property. This case has been ongoing for about 3 years. The permits have been applied for and issued and expired 3 times with absolutely no progress being made other than the beginning of some roof work. It stopped. The owner had a problem with a tree from a neighbor. I brought that case before the magistrate. That case was closed and dismissed in favor of the property owner, so the tree didn't go anywhere. At this point, we're just sitting here looking at this particular property with no progress. The
okay,
building
specifically, to kind of bring this into focus, as I recall, after the last meeting, we allowed time. Given the administrative conundrum we've been in from multiple permits having been obtained and expired, as I recall it, the status of the case was somewhat confusing. So we were going to back up and go by the numbers. And you have prepared a supplement to the notice of violation. I'm looking at photographs that I'm assuming are current.
Yes.
That show a house that definitely is in various stages of construction. So that's photographic evidence to me that the case is in non-compliance. So I guess what I would ask you to do, for my benefit, in 50 words or less, is just run down the laundry list of things that have to be done for the respondent to come into compliance and where they currently stand. Because that will establish your case regarding this current non-compliance.
Don't hold me to that 50 words. In short, the supplement list that was submitted is itemizing all of the issues that need to be corrected under a general construction permit, which is basically what this particular property is. It's a general construction, a full renovation from roof to foundation. All of those items in between the roof and the foundation need to be corrected.
And all these items are either work that was in progress and has not yet been completed, or violations that need to be rendered.
That's correct.
Okay. For example, I mean, I'm looking at a wall that clearly needs siding, so that's, I'm looking at incomplete construction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, all right. Good. Okay, let me go ahead and hear from Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker, what makes you think your house is in compliance?
Sir, as has stated, the house is in various stages of construction.
It's not finished.
That's correct. It is in a state of construction.
Okay.
Mr. Stinson is doing his job, but for him to come in and say during the process of doing this construction that, for instance, electrical system hazard exists, well, of course, it's because the project is in different phases of construction. My permits, this particular permit, which has expired, in my opinion, should not have expired.
Okay,
based.
Let me stop you there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in the quandary that got us here.
Mm-hmm.
I find it incredibly boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when the last time we were here, I said, folks, I'm not interested in ancient history. Let's have our inspector go out there and from soup to nuts, tell me what needs to be done to bring the house into compliance, because I'm not going to sit here and listen to more history.
Sure.
Okay. He did that. These are what need to be attended to. Are you agreeing that these tasks need to be completed?
Yes, I do. I do
Thank
agree
you.
They need to be
right,
completed,
with that,
yes.
I'm trying to respond to noncompliance. The next question is going to be from the city. Mr. Inspector, how long should it reasonably take for our property owner here to come into compliance, taking into consideration the task list that confronts him?
Reasonably, a project like this should only take 30 to 60 days. At this point, I'm not inclined to give him any more time.
All right, well, that's not your concern. That's my concern. So hopefully you're going to provide me the data with which I can say something quasi-intelligent. Now, the question is, forgetting the history, looking at this house in its current condition, knowing that permits probably have to be obtained, and work has to be done, how long would you reasonably anticipate that that would take?
Reasonably, he should be able to complete the project in 60 days.
Okay. All right. Mr. Walker, our inspector says you ought to be able to bring this into compliance within 60 days. What do you say?
John, I wish to apply for another set of permits with the... with the amount of time that normally accompanies new permits, which I believe is 180 days.
Well, you're not getting 180 days no matter what happens.
Well, sir, I only say that
because... You know, I could go out there with my 12-year-old grandkid and build a house in 180 days. So don't bother. Don't give me this nonsense. You know, I just finished telling everybody I didn't want to hear the history.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm getting ready to recycle the history for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you want me to go there. So I'm going to hit you with the same question I hit him. How much time should reasonably be required to bring this house into compliance? Don't end the sentence with 100 anything.
Yes, sir. 3 months, sir.
Okay. Mr. Walker seems to think that within 90 days he can have this into compliance. You say within 60 days. Now, would your 60 days give him or allow him the time that he needs to get permits and what have you as well?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Walker is suggesting that the permits can be a time-consuming process, I assume. Well, in any event. Do you know what permit, as you stand here right now, do you know what permits he's going to need in order to get the work completed?
He's
I'm assuming the permits, of course, have to precede work.
He's going to
need to get work done.
He's going to need a general restoration permit. So it's basically a building renovation. And so he's going to need a general permit.
Not necessarily in a perfect world, but in the ordinary course of events, how long should it reasonably take for him to get that permit so he can get work started?
2 weeks or less. 2 weeks or less.
Okay. What say, Mr. Walker?
I shall attempt to do that. I've already tried to contact Mr. Criswell, building official. I'm not sure what exactly is going on, but apparently during the last meeting and beyond that, Mr. Stinson has stated that there would not be any more permits issued. I think I may have heard him say that at least four times.
There's a lot of exasperation involved in this case.
Mm-hmm.
99% of which you're responsible for.
Sure.
So, one more time, I'm going to say, I'm trying to look forward here.
Sure.
I might give you your 3 months, but that's going to be predicated on you making certain that you have this permit before our next meeting, which is about 30 days down the road. And then if that work isn't done in 90 days, then quite frankly, all this has been, well, quite frankly, you might be finding yourself as a financial jeopardy at that point. So, that having been said, here's what we're going to do. Everyone agrees we now have a list of violations, so we all know what needs to be done.
Yes.
I would like to contest one violation that's on this form that extends from the previous meeting that we had.
Okay, will you take that up with the building department?
It concerns debris in the yard, and I believe that's... I've also been having, fines levied against me for it. The pictures here clearly show that the problem was corrected. It's
right now you're under construction, so the debris in the yard is a little confusing.
Well, levees were fined. I guess the fine started around.
Are you talking about another case now?
Well, but because it's also mentioned here, it's a continuance on this particular case. And these are what this is the item that the fines were levied for.
Called for an inspection in the other case so the inspector can come out and verify that you're in compliance on it?
Mr. Stinson is the inspector, and I assume he is the inspector because of the yard debris.
I'm waiting for an answer to my question.
Have I called? No, I have not.
Well, then, yeah, you're probably still in non-compliance for that, too.
But
you have to call for an inspection. Once you've brought a property or a condition into compliance, you have to call. The inspectors don't just circle the town, you know, checking on everybody out there. It's your obligation to call for an inspection so you can say, more debris, please make a note of that and put this down as in compliance at this point.
If I may, sir. At the end of the last hearing, which was on the 13th, I immediately went to the property and corrected violations, which was debris in the yard, immediately. Mr. Stinson, from the 13th, I guess the next time he went out was the 20th, stated that the violations were still in effect. The pictures here clearly show that not to be the case. What can I say? I'm just contesting that the fine should not have been levied.
Okay.
Based on the pictures that I'm seeing and obviously what I did.
I'm going to say this one more time, and I'm not going to say it again. If you are telling me you're in compliance with some condition for which you've been cited, then it is your responsibility to contact the inspector and ask him to come out for an inspection. Okay? And if you're in compliance, he's supposed to put a notice of compliance into the file, and that's the end of that. That's the paperwork end of this.
I did speak with him that very, very same day. I told him exactly what I had done and said everything was fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't we focus on the house right now?
Sure.
And let's get that done.
Oh.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this other case is concerned, I guess he's telling us he's ready for an inspection if there's another case.
If I'm understanding Mr. Vakelja, I think the clarification is I think he's asking somewhat of a piecemeal on the current violation, and as normal practice would be, inspector come out when he gets everything into compliance, and there may be one item at a time may be in compliance. He's expressing that the indication of the outside storage at the moment may be in compliance, and I don't know if that's the case, but at the conclusion of, typically what occurs at the conclusion of this list of items, the affidavit would represent the conclusion that the whole property is either in compliance or not in compliance. And the mere fact that he does, or his expression that he has just the debris removed, is whether or not that's something that's completing the compliance or temporary situation is at this point unknown, because we're not at the completion of the case.
Okay, if he has multiple cases that involve orders telling him to do multiple things, and if the day ever arrives that the city wants him fined for multiple violations, then it's going to be the city's responsibility to demonstrate to me that, with regard to that case, because he, you know, left debris out there, he never came into compliance. Well, Mr. Walker told me on February 14th he was in compliance the day after the last meeting. Okay. My point is, if you got a separate case standing on its own, it needs to be attended to accordingly. I understand the possibility for confusion, given the fact that we have overlapping cases and overlapping tasks. But at the same time, like I say, if the city is going to come forward on other cases that are not before me now, looking to find the gentleman, then you still need to make sure you crossed your T's and dotted your I's. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the fines have already started, and I believe that I'm in compliance, was in compliance day one after the meeting. That's what my contention is.
Okay, mm-hmm. And that's the fourth time you've said that.
Sure.
Okay. And now, all that having been said, have I made my ruling yet on this thing?
You have been non-compliant.
All right. I'm ordering the respondent to be in compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. And I'm also ordering that we're going to have a status conference on this case during our March 13, 2012 meeting, at which time I'm looking forward to Mr. Walker telling me the permits are in hand that are needed to get the work done, and hopefully that the work is underway.
It
will require that you have all permits needed by March 13, 2012.
Sure.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. And with that, we're all going to march our way to compliance. City, want to say anything else?
Nothing further.
Okay. All right. You all clear on what we're doing?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you. Case number 13, Teresa M. Arias. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, let's say the city.
Good morning. My name is John Stinchum, Code Enforcement Inspector with the city. My credentials are on file. This is case number SMG011211, City of Daytona Beach versus Arias Teresa M. Property address is 427 McGee Street. Parcel ID is 523821000170. We're here about the violations of outside storage, dilapidated fencing, and the roof. The junk vehicle has been removed. These are current pictures from February 1. I've had one phone call from a property manager who stated that the property was going into foreclosure. I did not find a list pendants filed. This Arias Teresa has not responded at all. I've had to post the property, and the city is asking for $100 a day per day to be kept at $10,000.
Property occupied?
No, sir.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing February 8, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000. Case number 14 is in compliance. Case number 15, James S. Singleton III. You're here for the respondent. If not, what say the city?
My name is John Stenson. I'm Code Enforcement Inspector employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG-011214. City of Daytona Beach versus Singleton James III. Property address is 547 North Ridgewood Avenue. Parcel ID is 533-834-02-0011. We're here to discuss the lack of an occupational license. He had an inspection scheduled for the 30th of January. He canceled it. They rescheduled for the 31st. It was a no-show. There's been no further contact. The city is asking for a one-time administrative fee of $250.
Based on our inspector's report, I'm imposing the one-time administrative fine of $250 for failure to obtain occupational license effective February 8, 2012. Case number 16, ADJ and SRJ Investments Incorporated.
We want to get you all together.
17 and 18, and then
15 and 15, and then
you have more cases.
You know, let's do the first. Mr. Jaffruni, you're going to be here for a while anyway.
Yeah.
So why don't you just have a seat right there for a minute? Let's get a couple of the other people out of the way, and then you'll have the floor for the rest of the morning. All right. Let's go out of order. Paul and Daniela Gavril. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, ma'am. Would you please step up and give us your name?
Daniela Paul. Paul is last name.
Okay, I'm
Daniela. Sorry. Daniela. First name, my husband, Gabriel. First name, my Paul last name.
Okay, so Paul is your last name.
Yes. We are here from 6 years. We bought it appropriately.
Oh, ma'am, just don't look like I need to have you smart. Can you pull the microphone down?
Yes, I do.
All right, Ms. Paul, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I agree. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't know about those. I'm here 6 years. I pulled permit when I came. I did what I did with the company. After that, I didn't do big improvement, and I didn't know about the screens. Are like that from the time I bought the property. And when Mr. Inspector came and told me are not allowed to be like this, I bought its screen and everything, and I did it. Now, this is after the big wind what we had, and a lot of shutter fell, and then I tried to replace, and I did it. But I'm telling you, my husband is not here all the time. Then I'm a single woman, and I have people who wants to help me. I can do for you this, because everybody wants money. I'm not in the point to do big improvement now. But if I need permit, of course, I pull the permit and I do anything what Mr. Inspector will tell me to do. I don't know. My neighbors all the time say, you work so hard, you do so good. Everything. I don't know. I'm sorry, and I really don't like to be here. This car is not in my property anymore. You know, I'm not the person to call and to make bad things for people. You know, I'm from Romania. I came here for my daughter. I think I do good, but I didn't know. And if looks bad, I try to do my best.
Relax.
I don't know. I'm
not
very
bad.
I don't know, I really, and those things, I tell them, take everything from there, and I don't know. those people will move out. I'm happy with the stroller and the bicycle. No, I have, thank you.
Why don't we stop talking for 1 second?
What I have to do, I will do, but I like to know what to do. Oh, no.
That's what we're getting to, right?
Every day we work.
That's what we're getting to now. All right, Mr. Stenson, can you give me an overview, please, of the work that needs to be done, and specifically that which has put this property in non-compliance?
Well, let me just get this out. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG021215. City of Daytona Beach versus Daniela and Gabriel Paul. The property address is 110 Bodfer Avenue North, Daytona Beach. Parcel ID is 5316-19000020. Violations that we're talking about are outside storage, screens, peeling paint, decorative features, referring to the shutters on the building. My last reinspection on the property was January 30th. There had been some progress. The buildings look as if they're being prepped to be painted. They haven't been painted yet. I believe her biggest hurdle is all the screens being screwed in. Some are on the second floor, some are on the first. She should be able to bring the entire property into compliance by the April cutoff.
Okay. All right. Do we now understand what needs to be done?
Yes. I think the screens, all the screens. What's my fault? I didn't know I cannot put screen in. I put somebody to put screw not to follow the screens, because some people, you know, they put the sneakers on the screens and they break the screens. I buy all the time.
The inspector has suggested that you ought to be able to have this work done by April 4 of 2012. What do you think?
Yes. I think it's done in 1 week, 2 months, the inspector.
Okay. Just give me a call.
Every month, please, I call you. Everything is done.
Okay. Let's not panic here. Just a second. You think you can have the work done by April 4th, 2012? All right. Very good. All right. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by April 4th, 2012. I'm almost afraid to say it. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, now, I didn't say that to give you a heart attack. Okay? So, just get together with your inspector. Very pleasant gentleman. Happy to explain to you what needs to be done. Get it done by April 4th. Call him when you're done. Tell him to come look and see for himself that it's all done. He'll put a notice of compliance in the file, and we all go about our business. All right? Okay. Just
when I call the same day,
He's pretty fine. So stay in touch with your inspector. He'll walk you through the whole thing. Good luck to you. Case number 18, Judith Antrim. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Can you state your names, please? Are both of you going to be testifying?
This is my son.
Okay, what is your name, ma'am?
Judith Antrim.
Sir, what is your name?
Raymond Benevento.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Ms. Antrim, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, and I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how long should it take for the respondents to be able to come into compliance?
The April cutoff. This is basically a carbon copy of the last case we heard.
Okay, the April cutoff for your information is April 4, 2012. So, What do you think about that? Are you going to be able to get the work done that you need to get done by April 4, 2012?
Most of it.
We have other ongoing issues other than just the cosmetics. I have a sewage issue that I have to get taken care of, which is going to take a big chunk of change. But with talking with Mr. Stinson earlier this morning, I told him we do have plans on getting the painting done building by building. There's five buildings over there, plus continue to repair the other deficiencies outside of the painting, which is the screens. We have the same issue of screens being screwed in. We removed all the screens. Tenants complained, wanted screens back because of the mild winter, open the windows. We put Velcro to get by the screws on the screens. Don't know if that's legal. These are old buildings. It's only two track. Window goes up, window comes down. No track for a screen to stay secure. Other than we screwed them in, now we're doing Velcro.
They were screwed in at the time of purchase, basically, Your Honor. That's how we brought them.
All right, well, the question right now is whether you think you're going to be in compliance by April 4th.
Yes, sir.
The violation here says commercial appearance, standard paint, screens, decorative features. That sounds relatively mild.
Some broken shutters we took down. The shutters that were broke we took off, and I haven't replaced them yet in preparation for painting the whole building.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by April 4, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If you run into any extraordinary circumstances that are going to impede or interfere with your ability to come into compliance, get in touch with your inspector and let him know. He'll be your best friend if you need more time. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Jabruti, I think the floor is yours now for the rest of the day.
Are you here for the lien review?
Yes.
Do you
want to do that? Sure, come on up. Mr. Woodley, state your name if you sworn.
My name is Sean Post.
Can you raise your hand?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Post, the floor is yours. What is it you want?
Good morning, sir. My name is Sean Post. I'm a licensed real estate agent with REMAX Associates in Deltona. I'm the listing agent for a property in Orange City, 1195 10th Avenue in Orange City, which was previously owned by a person who owned a property here in Daytona that apparently had a code violation. That was case number SMG 0108128 Lewis Drive here in Daytona. The property in Orange City has been foreclosed upon and is now owned by my client. There was a lien imposed in the cited case number that is cross encumbering the property in Orange City. What the owner of the property in Orange City is requesting is that the property be released from that lien. It's actually under contract with a buyer. It's a pretty dilapidated property, and the buyer intends to rehab the property. So I guess that's the basic of the request, is that the lien not encumber the property in Orange City.
You're telling me the original respondent is no longer the owner of the property in Orange City?
Yes, sir.
That property has already changed hands?
Yes, sir.
The current owner is now preparing to sell it again?
Yes, sir.
And this lien has cropped up?
Yes, sir.
Let's say the city.
Mr. Calhoun speaking with the city staff. Typically, these are reviews that we consider as staff reviews, because typically we're in situations where the underlying property is in compliance. In this situation, is that the case here?
Yes, it's in compliance.
Okay, well, I don't remember where I was coming from.
The lien was not foreclosed by their foreclosure.
Okay. So in this situation, this is one where
it was
apparently by oversight,
we were not considered in the foreclosure when we did the foreclosure. And so our lien remained. Our lien was a valid lien and a collectible lien. And probably would have resulted in the foreclosure also. Nevertheless, our situation, the city's situation, has always been that the existence of the lien, at the very least, when we release those, that there's some reasonable recovery that we should make concerning the lien, if not, at the very least, for administrative costs. And typically, just for the whole process of reviewing and considering the lien as a whole. I've been asked by city staff to make the request. This is a lien that actually had accrued to $40,000. Then by the benefit of the over $40,000. Then by the benefit of the modification or the change in the ordinance for maximization, it maxed out pursuant to the ordinance to $15,000. So the lien at this point is at $15,250 because it includes the one-time $250 post-rental. So the city's request is for $2,500 to settle the lien as to this as a harsh release settling the lien to this external property.
Okay, the city is proposing that this lien not be eliminated but be reduced to the sum of $2,500. What say you?
I understand the city's position here, but the property in Orange City being encumbered by this was not my client's issue whatsoever. It was not their fault. And they've been through this several times. They're used to this. There's been several cases, I don't know about in Daytona Beach, but there have been several cases throughout Volusia County where the liens have been released where administrative fees in the $500 to $1,000 range were asked for. I've been involved in a few of those cases, and that seemed to have been the number that I've seen several times.
So what are you proposing?
I think we would ask for it to pay a $500 fee to the city to get the lien, to get the property disencumbered.
I'm going to go ahead and order that the lien be reduced to the sum of $500, subject to being paid within 30 days. I need to warn you, if it's not paid within 30 days, it automatically reverts the amount that's here. And this is your one and only lien. If that 30 days poses a problem because you're coming up on a closing, then you'll contact the city attorney. He'll work with you as long as it's close. So, the lien's going to be reduced to the sum of $500. Within 30 days, with that, it's fully satisfied.
Well, clarification, fully satisfied as to that property.
Fully satisfied as to that property.
The property in Orange City.
Not a partial release. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I apologize for being late.
No problem.
Minor filing alert to this morning. Thank you, Ms. Hampton.
Okay, Mr. Jaffruti, now you have the floor.
Let me just tell you without that, maybe you want to take a short break before this slide on this.
All right. You want to take about a 10-minute break?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Take a 10-minute break. And it'll be the Mr. Jaffruti show. Grab Mr. Jaffruti if we could.
We'll grab him.
Thank you.
move on to case number 16. Are we all set and ready to go? AZJ and SRJ Investments Incorporated. Who's here for the respondent?
I am.
Okay. Would you please state your name? If you gentlemen are going to be testifying, we need your names as well.
My name is Darren Jafferty. My address is 457 China Hill Court, Apopka, Florida, 32712.
Jerry Hurley, 646 North Beach Street, Daytona Beach, Florida. Brian Bowers, 215 Kingston Avenue, Apopka, Florida.
Please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Case number 16 is 215 Kingston Avenue. The matter is here for the imposition of a fine. So what is, when we talk to our inspector, what's the status of compliance?
Good morning, Mr. Kauser. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City. My qualifications are on record. This is case number SMG 1011108ADJ and SRJ Investments versus City of Daytona Beach. Property address 215 Kingston Avenue. And we are here to discuss the violations of windows, doors, peeling paint, and exterior surfaces. City would like to amend this particular case because it's also has another case under the particular operation, Operation Trailer Hitch. There's two separate cases on this particular property. We'd like to amend this one to coincide with this 215 property. The case that began on November 22nd. This case here began July 26th. For the 215 property, came as a tenant complaint. Since then, the city has done a major operation on that entire property. They still had not come into compliance with this first notice of violation, so technically we would be imposing a fine here, and I was going to ask you for $150 per day, capped at $20,000. However, we have that other active case on there, so I'd like to either join this case with the other case on 215, or we can deal with this one as a separate issue. Mr. Kelsey, I gave you that big black binder. You kind of be able to follow along a little bit better.
I just don't see another 215.
It's not before you today. That's correct.
Mr. Kelly, I'll speak for Mr. Stinson on that. I think what he's asking is that 215 Kingston is on the agenda right now. He believes it may be more effective in addressing that when we address the other properties that are the other violations that are on 215 Kingston, which is coming at a subsequent agenda. They're not on this current agenda, so that's going to continue this to a future agenda. All right. That's
correct.
Okay, is it just a matter of continuing it or consolidating it with another case on 215?
Well, yeah, right now you don't have any other cases at that address before you. It's not on this agenda, but he has cases that he's working on on an anticipated future, and he would like to continue to develop future center, which we, whenever that comes forward. So I guess the contingency expect that by for next meeting.
Yes. So ultimately, we can continue this particular 215 case to the March hearing.
Do you want to be heard on this, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I would. Originally, we were cited for exterior violations, okay, that required repair of basically stucco work, paint work, window work, screen work. We pulled the permits. There was an issue as to the number of units. I met with Colleen Miles. We agreed to reduce the number of units. Okay. I submitted plans to Colleen. She approved of them. The building inspector approved of them. Okay. I appeared here, I believe it was, what was last time? Well, in any case, progress was going real good until there was vandalism done to the property, okay, starting on January 28th, okay. We had built over 153 screens. We're in the process of making repairs to 153 windows, okay, four doors. Stucco work was completed. Paint work was completed. On approximately January 28th, one of the tenants decided it was cute. Well, actually, one of the tenants and one of the occupants, well, we really don't know whether he's a tenant or not. It depends on the weather, okay? Decided it would be cute to go vandalize the property and destroy several windows, approximately, I don't know, what, about 30 windows, okay? Two of them that were involved, one being an occupant, and one's undetermined as to whether he's a tenant or not, legal aid got involved, okay? They did get charged for destruction of property. I got the police reports. I got the state attorney reports. Okay. We were almost complete. Okay. Putting us back. All right. We had plans drafted and everything. Everything was approved. The doors were replaced. The stucco work was done. All that remained was window glass, putting window glass in. The tenant and the one of the occupants of the tenant went in and destroyed it, okay, causing a delay. Then what occurred was trying to make a last-ditch effort because we were not going to be able to hit the compliance date that we had been here on a previous case, okay, I had my guys working this weekend. On, what was it, Sunday morning? And I, if you want to see the police reports and so forth, I have them, do have them for you. Okay?
So you have them working on what?
Repairing the windows. Okay? For this other case. See, I was told by John when he served, when he's talking about this consolidated case, okay, not to be concerned about Kingston, but there was exterior violations that we were here previously on that if I did not have done by February 6th, I believe, I was going to be fined. On Saturday night, one of the individuals came back and he did the same thing. I had the contractor schedule a reinspection with the city for Monday. Sometime about Saturday night, I don't have the police report yet, but I heard you can pull it up, okay, because it takes 2 or 3 days to come out. Did the same thing, broke the windows. So amendment for about 153 screens, 153 windows that were made operable and so forth, okay? Doors were replaced, stucco was done, paintwork was all done, and to see the building was being converted from 15 units for an occupancy issue to down to 6, okay? And so I still scheduled the inspection, even though we didn't hit the deadline that we were supposed to come back here for, all right? And on Saturday night, it occurred again with destruction of windows. I have pictures, and there is another police report. So that's the case that I thought we were originally here on, because when John served me with that other packet, he said those were not of any concern because I'd worked out something with Colleen as far as bringing the occupancy down. So I don't know where they're coming in on things, because the units were going to be reduced down to 15. I sent out termination letters on a month because they're on month to month, okay? And the units were going to be reduced from 15 to 6 units, making them larger units. There's 3 buildings, okay? And my understanding is we were here today for that issue.
Now, and what I understand is they want to continue it, because I guess there's some other matters they want to talk about with regard to 215 Kingston. Matters that I don't know about yet, and I assume you don't know
about. I don't know about yet, too. He did serve me, okay, I think at some point, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, with some interior violations. We went through, I believe we fixed the interior, even though we did. We went through and we fixed the interior violations, even down to fire inspection and so forth, just so we would not, you know, have any more problems. So we made every effort.
I understand what you're telling me. You weren't in compliance by February 8th.
Yes.
He's wanting to continue it. So what prejudice is there to you?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to understand is why is there a continuation and what the other problems are, because ultimately when I do the conversion, okay, I understand it's going to have to go back through a process, and if I guess we're fine if we're going to hold off on any implication of fines.
Well, there's not going to be any fines today. And they're the ones that have asked for the continuance. You've given me some kind of an explanation as to why you weren't in compliance by February 8th. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Okay.
Because it sounds like all this is going to be discussed another day. At which point, I guess you're going to find out the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, with regard to 215 Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go from there. So my point is, the continuance they've asked for can't do anything but help you, so I assume you're not objecting, or do you want me to actually consider the imposition of a fine?
Well, no, obviously I would, you know.
You would think so.
I just don't know where they're coming from as far as...
Well, I agree, and you and I are both going to have to patiently wait and see whatever it is they come up with, and then deal with it then. Okay, and from what I understand, we're going to find out that by next meeting. So, am I continuing this matter? Are you going to be amending this matter? I just want to know procedurally what we're doing.
Yes.
We'll be continuing this case to the March cutoff.
Are we consolidating cases? I mean, they're two separate.
Well, you and I
will address all of that.
We can sit here all day long and speculate okay. about what we're going to do, but it won't be very productive. So I guess we'll both wait and see what they come up with, and then I'll decide if it's something that should be consolidated or not.
I'm sorry, was that a question from me?
So I guess as it stands, we're continuing it, And when we see whatever it is that they want to bring up with regard to Kingston, we'll go from there.
March 13th.
Pardon?
The March 13th meeting.
We'll continue this item for the March 13th meeting. Now, I'm almost reluctant to open my mouth because I'm sure I'll regret it, but I guess I'll say it anyway. To me, I think you got a bit of a windfall here, because if you weren't in compliance by February 8th, and you were as close as you say that you were, then I would think you would definitely be in compliance by March 13. And if that's the case, then I guess the special magistrate would look favorably on the fact that you used the additional time to come into compliance if anybody is going to be coming here asking for a fine.
I would definitely agree with that.
I think that's what they put under the heading of a word of the wise is sufficient. So, with that, that's that item. All right, let's move on. What's the next one? The next one I have is case number 19. Mr. Jafruti, 10 Allison Lane. Now, let me ask a question. It appeared to me, when I went through this material, the cases 19 through 21 and cases 24 through 41 address multiple violations at multiple locations, all under the heading of 10 Allison Lane, albeit different trailers.
That's correct.
Is this something we should, someone having just mentioned the word consolidate, does it behoove us to consolidate any of these cases, or are we better served dealing with them one at a time? Doesn't matter to me. I'm just asking. And for everyone's information, those case numbers I referred to are the cases of 10 Allison Lane. Say that the violations are verbatim, but they appear to be very similar from one trailer to the next as far as those cases go.
Mr. McKelvey, if I may, the only thing, and I'm sure this is probably what you mean, the only concern we have is in consolidating. We're consolidating for the purpose of presentation and discussion, but we want the rulings to be independent for each case because one may be remedied and the next one may not because they are different trailers. So if it's easier to just do one case at a time because they are different trailers, then, but it lends to the ability to resolve one trailer and leave the other one unresolved.
So you have separate orders, but it would be...
Well, I would assume it would be separate orders. The consolidation is for the purpose of this presentation.
Yeah, that would be fine.
All right. Let me ask another question here. In the cases that I've referred to, 19 through 21 and 24 through 41, that are all come under the heading of 10 Allison Lane. Okay. Let me ask Mr. Jafruti here. I don't want to get... I'm getting ready to get into the details in a moment, but obviously it looks as though this is going to be a lot of work. So what I'm looking for from you is an overview. Have you already taken a look at all this and come up with a plan?
Well, yes. It's really kind of confusing. I was originally served with a different set of violations, okay? that we have been, well, I think we could simplify a lot of this, okay? Because they seem to have attached onto their violations fire department and the state, okay? The state has issued its license and cleared, okay? I believe the fire department, we have two violations as of yesterday, all right? But let me start. I initially got...
Hang on a second. I'm looking just for a, if it's possible, a brief overview. I'm not going to deny anyone here their opportunity to give them all the details they want to give.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, given the number of violations, the multiple trailers, the similarity of a lot of the violations to a lot of the trailers, that if that lent itself to a construction or remodeling or rehab plan that you had already fashioned, I thought I would ask you what it was at the outset.
Well, that's what I was getting to, is one of the problems is, okay, when I initially got served, there was ultimately, it was a lot different from the packet that I received. I received the packet in December, okay, and we were working off of that, all right? Then I received, in February, a package that was one sort of vague and repetitive. So it's kind of confusing.
Okay, I understand. All right, let's go. Case number 19, 10 Allison Way, trailer 117. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation? It says that, no demolition permit.
Yes, but there's circumstances surrounding that, okay? That was the trailer for one. Well, here, I need to add this in, okay? The addresses were all changed by the city engineer, okay? So that has added to the confusion, where the city had renamed the addresses to the properties, where they kind of use them for 10 Allison Lane as opposed to 646 North Beach Street. And I have, you know, what I'm saying is the addresses that I've been cited for, okay, aren't the addresses that were assigned by the city, which adds a lot of confusion to the matter.
Okay. Do you know where 10 Allison Lane is?
10 Allison Lane is the overall... Yes.
Do you know where trailer number 117 is?
117 what? That's what it becomes.
It says trailer number 117. You know where trailer number 117 is at 10 Allison Lane?
I don't know which, right offhand, which one he's particularly referring to. If it was the one that was removed without the construction permit.
Is there a trailer out there that says 117 on it?
Yes, sir. I'm going for a picture right now.
I'm not understanding why this is so difficult. And if there is a trailer that says number 117, does it have a demolition permit or not?
Well, let's see what he's showing me.
There's no longer a 117 because it was demolished without a permit. This is 117, the other 117. If you look, refer to your map in your book, all the trailer locations have been numbered. Madison Avenue is having a significant. That's the location on the property. This is
entire perch?
Sure.
There's a letter from the city engineer over 2 years ago reassigning the addresses to addresses that run along Madison, addresses that run along Allison. Fire department, they use the address numbers. And the fire enforcement did not. It's almost like a due process issue where I've been accused of a crime, but I don't know what the actual, I don't know what the actual, you know, what I've been charged with. See, 10 Allison Lane used to be 646 North Beach Street. At some points they're used, some points they're not used. I've checked with Gary Folsom. He says he's on several occasions, he said he notified all the various agencies.
What is this map that you just showed me? Because it is absolutely consistent with what he just showed.
I haven't seen what he showed you.
Well, what he's just shown me is matches exactly what you have here.
Okay.
101, 109, 111, 115, 121, 123, 125, okay, so this map I have here is absolutely consistent with what you've just handed me. So, you're telling me the city engineers gave you...
But the city engineers, yes, renamed the properties.
And that's the map that Mr. Stenson's just shown me. So now that I have these two consistent maps in front of me, okay, what am I being told here? There was a trailer at 117 that isn't there anymore?
That's correct.
117 as located on this map that you gave me?
117 is not on the map that I gave you because it should have been in there first place.
Okay, what is this 117 like?
This is the 117 on the back side, the south side, okay. The Madison Street side.
Right.
The one we're talking about should have been like
so here. You're telling me there was a 117 over here?
That's correct. There's 117 here and there's 117. There's a couple of duplicate addresses. You've got a couple of streets in the middle of the property, which changes it from Allison to Hayden.
All right, so you're telling me there was a 117 on the Madison Avenue side that was removed and no permit was obtained.
Correct.
And this is the trailer. And that's the trailer?
Yes, sir.
And that was removed.
I agree with you.
You agree the violation then, as he explained it, existed or occurred?
Correct, but the circumstances surrounding it was right after New Year's Eve. Okay.
The circumstances in that.
Okay.
Find the respondent in noncompliance. Now, what does the respondent need to do to come into compliance?
He needs to obtain a demolition permit.
Demolition permit. Okay. How much time should be required to get a demolition permit?
I'm sorry.
How much time should it take to get a demolition permit?
2 days.
Now, I'm really not trying to be cute, but how do you get a demolition permit for something that's already gone?
He will be double fee for it.
Okay.
Right. Because he was notified prior to the incident that pushed him to remove it.
All right, so how much time should it take to come into compliance on case 19?
The next hour.
Next hour. Okay, Mr. Jaffruti, the inspector indicates you ought to be able to come into compliance on this case by the next cutoff, which is March 7, 2012. What say you on the amount of time?
Excuse me?
You think you'll be able to come into compliance by March 7, 2012?
Yes, my intent was... When my contractor came back to for the reinspection at Kingston was to resolve that issue. It became a situation where after that was torn down, I believe on January 2nd, the city was closed. It became a situation where I felt it was an emergency situation. There had been damage done during that weekend.
All right, and I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by March 7, 2012. or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case 20, 10 Allison Lane, trailer 137. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Hold on a second.
Mr. Scott, before we get deep into the pictures that you came scrolling, they were in order reflecting the cases, however, the computer decided to put it in its own order.
Okay, we were at 137. What's the street west of North Beach Street?
North Beach is going to be Tanglewood.
So 137 is on the border of Tanglewood?
No, sir. That 137 trailer is in the rear of the property, on the back side, opposite of the Madison side.
Well, on your map, it appears as though there's a street that runs behind it. I just wonder what the name of it was.
Yes, this is Tanglewood.
Okay, Mr. Giuffrudi, number 137. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred?
I'm looking for
137.
I'm looking for 137 right now. It seems for some reason out of order.
Is this a photo of 137?
Yes, sir. That is 137 right there.
I agree, but the building was not being used for anything. It was actually boarded up for years.
Well, we can't just board them up indefinitely. At some point, you got to bring them into compliance and get rid of them. You can't just stockpile a boarded-up building. The purpose of securing it is to keep anything from happening.
Correct. I understand what you're saying.
All right, I find 137 to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how long should it take to bring the property into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Okay, Mr. Giuffrudi, the inspector thinks you ought to be able to bring that trailer into compliance by March 7, 2012. What say you?
I would say literally impossible.
Why do you say that?
It's going to take extensive work.
Assuming you're going to rehab it.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
I mean, demolition brings it into compliance. I'm not here to tell you what you do. I'm just
correct. I'm just saying, even if I decided to, you know, redo it, like how I submit plans and so forth, and go through the process, it's going to take more than. What's the next cutoff? March.
Well, this is the question I'm asking.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take you to come into compliance?
I would say at least 90 days, based upon everything else that, you know, needs to be addressed.
Okay, and is it your intent to bring it into compliance?
I'm going to attempt to, yes, based upon, you know, I'm going to have to make an overall assessment as to where we're at on things. That's what I was trying to show you. There was a lot of confusion based upon the fact that I got two different sets of citations.
Okay. Him, the camera, everybody's here.
All right.
We're all on the same page.
My intent is to bring it.
I'm not interested in history.
Okay. My intent is to bring it
into
compliance. I'll need at least 90 days.
I'll give you time to bring it into compliance. So, 90 days?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll order the respondent to bring 137 into compliance by May 2, 2012. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And, you know, this is why I tried to ask you at the beginning of all this if you had kind of like an overall rehabilitation concept in mind, before we went through these one at a time because there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, I did, okay, and that was what I was trying to explain to you. Initially, back in December, I got one set of violations. Okay, then everything kind of switched and became vague. And a lot of the violations that are attached to that, for instance, if we start looking, we have all this other stuff attached to it, okay, such as the fire safety, state violations, and so forth that are pretty much in compliance. So, yeah, I have been working.
I understand. I'm not suggesting you haven't been.
And in some sort of logical way to get this done.
All right, let's keep going.
Mr. McKelton, since we're kind of dealing with these one at a time, we have had some folks who are involved with legal services and so forth, and one of the issues we have is occupancy, that some of these units that should not be occupied are occupied, and even when people have been removed, they've been reoccupied. So if there's some potential occupancy, I guess we'd like to address that with an order that the units remain unoccupied until the repairs are made, or when that's appropriate, and I'll ask the inspector on that. I don't know enough about the conditions themselves, but the conditions that warrant that these units not be occupied, that they not be occupied specifically on each case.
I presume 137 was empty.
Yes, without a doubt.
It has been for a while.
Yes.
Is all you've been secure?
It's been, yeah, it was secured.
Okay. All right, well, then let me go ahead and add to my order, because I should have stated it earlier, that the unit will not be rented, used, or occupied until such time as it's brought into compliance. And in the interim, of course, it still has to be secured to city standards.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so let me say that now. That'll be a given throughout all of these. All right? Now, we were moving on to case number 21. 10 Allison Lane common areas.
This is going to encompass the property minus the trailer.
Okay, Mr. Giuffrudi, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violations, specifically as they pertain to the common areas?
I'm not so sure I understand what the nature of the complaints are. I have discussed this with John. And there was issues as to a fence, but the fence abutting the property that's falling apart is not owned by me. And so I'm really kind of unclear. And that's what I've been trying to express, that I am unclear as to a lot of these violations.
To clarify just the fence violation, I'm referring to the fencing that's on the west side of the property. It's in the southwest corner. You have chain link fence there.
Can you show me on the because I've
we're making some pictures. Do you recall the chain link fence on the property other than the one on the Beach Street side?
On the Beach Street side. Is that what you're talking about right now?
That's the Beach Street side. That
okay.
Is not the chain link fence.
That's not the chain link fence you're referring to, because I've asked you about that before.
Yes.
Which one are you referring to?
Far west end of the property in the southwest corner. Right there. City easement.
Is that the city easement?
It may be city easement. However,
correct.
That is your fence.
No, I don't believe that is my fence right there. Jerry, it's not our fence.
Okay,
and I did contact Public Works. And it's that's not our fence. Now, if you're talking about there's a chain link fence in the back that's in repair, that's just sitting there. Okay.
In disrepair, correct.
Not in disrepair. I mean, you just showed me something different. You showed me that little fence right there. So all you want that is removed.
Yeah, right there? that is chain link fencing. Most of it's laying on the ground.
No, not whatsoever. That chain link fence is not laying on the ground. If it's a chain link fence, that what's the city's easement?
You're gonna have to come up here and speak at the microphone.
You guys like
Mr. DeFrutti, if you want to go consult with them, go consult with them. But we're not just going to keep yammering here on the front row.
They're talking about that one little piece of chain link fence.
That's correct.
It's got four or five poles. That's all the longer that fence is, and none of that fence is on the ground. I'm the one who went back there and cut up the tree logs because y'all wanted the tree logs to hold it cut up, so I did it. Nobody's ever mentioned anything to me about taking that piece of fence out. It doesn't. Who's it hurting? It's not. It's not down. It's not sagging. It's not in disrepair.
Robert, do me a favor.
You talking about that right there?
Zoom in right there, please.
Okay, that fence is not torn down. That's all the longer that fence is, sir.
More. Now can you see the dilapidated fence? What is this?
Okay, you want the poles ripped out? I'll go back and rip out poles. There's no fence.
Well, look, I'll agree to if that exists and that's what he's talking about and that's what he wants, I will agree to remove it. It serves no purpose.
What are talking about with regard to the common appearance standards here? Is there more than that?
There's more than just the fence.
Okay, what else is there?
I think you'll have to scroll down. We have the garbage collection point that is pretty much just out there right now, as you can see. There's a dumpster. There should be an enclosure, actually, for the dumpster.
This is the dumpster here. That should be in it. Concrete enclosure, three sides around it, and it's fencing or a screen around the front.
All right, what else?
All of those power boxes are in the common areas. He's going to have to get a hold of FPL or a licensed contractor and do something with those, because those just can't be exposed to the elements the way they are.
Okay. Anything else?
Remove all outside storage, trash and debris.
Okay. All right. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. We've got a couple of illustrations here as far as what the city's talking about. I think it would behoove the parties if Mr. Giuffrutti or his representatives would get together with the city so that we could actually have some clarity. Not that I'm... Anyway. So that we can be sure there are no misunderstandings as far as what needs to be done, but in any event, I've seen enough to satisfy me that the property is in need of repair, and consequently, it does need to be brought into compliance. Now, with regard to the items that you have in mind, and I assume we've touched on a number of the primary ones already, how much time should be required to come into compliance?
For the common area, the next car off.
Mr. Giuffrutti, the city is suggesting that fence, the container around the dumpster, the power boxes, and those are just the three that we've actually taken the time to look at. And I understand there are more, and you probably need to get together with them on that. Should be repaired by March 7, 2012. What say you to that?
I would once again request 90 days because I do not know the list of what he exactly he's requiring.
Mr. Cutler, maybe I can save us some time. In the packet that you signed for, on 4 January, you were given a list of ...24 individual notices of violation.
At what date?
It was hand-delivered to you 12/16/11 and signed for.
But what...
Each notice of violation has the nature of the remedy, the location, and
the remedy on how to fix the violation. I don't really understand your statement.
Well, why don't we read that remedy of violations, okay? And because I've purged you with that, and you particularly said fencing, and I went and repaired the front fence where it needed repair, okay? And you never mentioned that, the fence that we were talking about, nor did I hear of any of these other things. I mean, I'm just not really being put advised, you know, on notice as to what the actual violations that he wants corrected are. And then what I have asked...
I'm gonna read you one of the violations, just one.
Let's just show it.
In
this is where he signed for all the nurses. This one, 17, this one. 37, just talked about. How many areas of the town we talked about? Let's spell that right here. Exactly where we want to move in this point. And every note of notice of violation is written the same way. Yes.
Seems pretty comprehensive to me, Mr. Gifford.
It may be comprehensive, but when I approached him and asked him particularly what fence we were talking about, okay, I was told it was the fence in the back. Just like the snapshot of the dumpster. There was yard debris, actually, on the day that picture was taken, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, where one of the tenants was actually cleaning up her area and landscaping and so forth, okay? I did ask him specifically about some of these things. You know, it's like property landscaping shall be properly maintained. I mean, the landscaping is maintained. What landscaping there is there, palm trees and so forth. I mean, it's just very vague.
Between the instructions the inspector's giving you and a little common sense, you have a pretty fair idea as how to remedy about 98% of what you're looking at here. Okay. And that having been said, the question is, how much time are you going to require to come into compliance on case number 21, which is remedying the common areas? You've indicated 90 days.
I would take 90 days based on what he just told me, 90 days.
Okay.
If not sooner, I just don't want there to be, you know, other things popping up as to, you know, as to what they're talking about.
Well, I don't know that things are popping up. I guess maybe it's just a differing interpretation.
Correct. I mean, if you take a picture
of what needs to be done here, I would think...
You know, a pinpoint
right,
in time.
The respondent says 90 days, you say 30 days. How long is it going to take FPL to get out there and fix those boxes?
Yes, the property owner needs to call me.
I understand that. That was my question. How long is it going to take to get it done?
I can't see longer than a week.
Okay. So your experience with FPL is you call, they come out, they fix it. Within a week.
No.
Not exactly. When I call FPL, it's to actually cut out a building. He needs major electrical work on that.
Okay.
On that property.
I'm just trying to evaluate the 90 days he's asking for. You know, fencing being ripped out, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
The enclosure around the dumpster, which I assume is also going to require a permit,
That's correct. Tells
me there's going to be additional time there. The boxes at FPL look to me like something that may be out of his hands. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm just trying to weigh the 90 days he's suggesting. Would you want to be heard from?
Yes.
He was sworn?
Yes. David Newell, Daytona Beach Fire Department, Fire EMS Specialist. I also was part of the inspection at this specific property. With regards to your question on the FPNL, if anything's an immediate hazard, such as locking up the boxes, making sure that nobody can get into them, that our kids are played, it's an immediate fix. If he makes a phone call within a few days, and I would probably say within a day, but Mr. Stinson's a week, without a doubt, in my experience in the fire service for over 15 years, is not unheard of. It would probably be.
Is FPL going to fix everything there, or is he going to have to get an electrical contractor?
Some of that an electrical contractor would.
It's beyond what FPL's going to
do. But what FPL will do, because it's their FPL boxes, they will put a cover over that and make sure that it's good for the safety of the children, and that's where it comes from. As it pertains to the actual new wiring needs to be added or things need to be done, a licensed contractor would need to handle that information. But as far as locking the boxes, like you'll see in the second box number 2, 4, and 5 on that last one, they'll come out and put those in so it's safe for the community.
Can all I right. speak?
Oh. In regards to those boxes, it's already been clipped by FPNL. There's no power going in those boxes. They were for trailers that were there many years ago that don't exist anymore. There's no type of electricity running to it. It's clipped at the pole.
So does that mean these are going to be removed?
The whole tower would be torn out.
All right.
There is no replacement.
So that's all going to happen within 90 days?
Yes. That's what they're, you know.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Well, someone's going to make a call here, and we've got to get moving, but we've got more. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance on this matter by May 2, 2012. That's the 90 days y'all are looking for, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, case number 22. We're at 105 Allison Lane North. And the question is, Mr. Gifruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Once again, I'm looking. I'm using 122.
We are at 105 Allison Lane.
If it's going to be near for you.
Yeah, let me look at yours.
Follow up.
Yeah. No, the. And this was in the current set that you gave me?
That's correct.
There's a lot of confusion going on. Remove all mold and mildew from exterior surface, repaint as needed. That was done. Okay. There is work that needs to be done to the broken windows, yes. You see, we're almost working off two sets. That's where I'm getting confused. We're working off two sets of violations.
Any of these violations existed or occurred?
I mean, this is where I'm getting into confusion, okay?
Can we agree any of these violations?
Yes.
All right, I finally responded to be in non-compliance. Now let's talk about compliance. Okay, Mr. Inspector, how much time should be required to be in compliance?
I would say the next cutoff, sir.
Okay, the inspector says you ought to be able to take care of this one by March 7th of 2012. What do you say?
In light of things, I'm going to need 90 days again.
Okay, you indicate to me that you had already done some of this work.
Yes, I did. But
I don't
when
mind
it comes
this routine 90 days here. I just fear for you 90 days from now. You know, when all of this comes tumbling down on you because you haven't been able to get it. Okay. I'll let you figure that out. So you're thinking 90 days to come into compliance on this report. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You're sure there aren't
remove the mold and mildew from the exterior surface and repaint as needed, which we've already done, as opposed to repairing dilapidated doors and windows and so forth. So, I mean, and I was trying to take it in steps and procedures, okay? For instance, everything that he cited for me as far as mold and mildew, and repainting, you know, I don't know if you disagree, John, I went out there and addressed.
exterior walls, metal blinds.
I mean, I could rattle off the list of addresses that.
Do we have a picture of 105 Allison Lane?
We'll be digging.
That's 105.
Okay.
Also 105.
Okay. So, you're looking for 90 days on that one?
Yes.
All right, order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Is 105 occupied?
Yes.
We're now into occupied units, or at least an occupied unit. He's wanting 90 days. If you have life safety issues here that need to be addressed before 90 days, I'll look to you to let me know.
I don't currently have any life safety issues in this particular unit. Have smoke alarms, electrical equipment, electrical system hazard, plumbing system hazard. So plumbing system hazard, electrical hazard, and the smoke detectors are life safety. And those need to be corrected a whole lot sooner than 90 days.
The plumbing system hazard was all fixed through the state, okay? The smoke alarms, and one of fire, I believe approved, correct?
Yeah, the for this specific address, the smoke alarms have been corrected.
Okay, Mr. Jafuri, these things are done. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody here, though, has got to lay down the program here to make sure everything gets done. How much time for any of the life safety issues, which you've identified as the electrical, the smoke alarm, and the plumbing? Next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
I would think so. Now, with regard to what we consider to be the life safety issues, the smoke detectors, the electrical matters, the plumbing, can you have that work done for this unit within 30 days or by March 7th of 2012, recognizing that you'll have the balance of the 90 days to attend to whatever else needs to be done?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, they've already been done.
So is that a yes?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, we are going to amend our previous order to further provide that with regard to, I've got a number of these, so what am I talking about? The electrical system hazard, the smoke alarms, and the plumbing system hazards be resolved by March 7, 2012, or the respondent be returned for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, why don't you come on up here and tell me if there's a problem doing that? I see you making faces over here. Okay, but my point is he going to be able to get the electrical, the plumbing system, and the smoke alarms done?
Yes.
Sounds like you guys are the ones doing the work here.
Yeah, it's already done.
Yes.
Okay, if it's already been done, then there's nothing to worry about. But I just want to have a format here, because we're probably going to start running across a few in which these things haven't been done, and I just want to be consistent as far as my treatment of you is concerned. Okay? All right, good enough.
Ms. McKelvin, just to catch what you just said, so you can be consistent, I'll ask on this one, and I was just asking the fire inspector. We do have circumstances, I believe that most of these units may be occupied, and when we have life safety issues, I'm just kind of concerned, and I'm at least was looking for whether or not there was testimony as to whether or not we need to speak to the occupants, even though
we're giving, if we're giving them 30 days, after that 30-day period, I mean, we have a point of urgency, I guess, because they are occupied structures. I don't have a solution yet. I was kind of trying to figure one out.
Okay, well, I'm not telling this man to throw people out of trailers without good cause for doing so. No one from the city right now has come forward with any urgency that would prompt or require me to do so. And that would be, have to be a pretty strong showing, since that's a pretty severe penalty there. On top of that, the gentleman's already testified that a lot of the life safety issues have already been remedied.
Can I call the fire inspector up and tell you what I've remaining?
Hang on a second. So my point is, if there are specific life safety concerns for any of these units, I'll expect somebody to bring that up.
Specifically for the fire, a re-inspection there yesterday. Most of everything, there was a trailer or two that I was unable to get into to verify if the smoke alarms and electrical issues were taken care of in those specific trailers. I was not going to bring those up until those cases came forward. The only thing is what we have a continual problem at this specific location with regards to smoke alarms, fire extinguishers, and such is people taking them down, the fire extinguishers being taken, that kind of stuff. I want to impress upon anything that's awarded or anything that's enforced here that this has been a continual problem at that location, and in the event that something happens later down the road, we need to maybe impose a fine based upon that. I've expressed to Mr. Giuffrutti and all of his employees or the gentlemen that are here today how to remedy that problem. I understand that it is rentals, but I deal with apartment complexes and such throughout the city all the time. There's ways you can't stop from somebody from taking it down, but you can control your investment by maintaining and going in those properties on a monthly basis to make sure that stuff is taken care of. So for my perspective, as far as the smoke alarms, the fire extinguishers and the electrical, most of it has come up to the standards that from the inspection that was done back in November. What I will tell you is the time I was there before that, which was probably about 2 years prior to that, we've had a continual smoke detector problem at that location, and some of it was prior to Mr. Giuffrutti owning it. We have put, me personally, in the Daytona Beach Fire Department, has put in free smoke detectors in every single unit that was in there. So we have utilized, you know, donations that have been given to the City of Daytona Beach Fire Department and put up free smoke detectors to ensure that the tenants were safe and could get out in the event of an emergency. On top of that, when we went back to do the inspection in November, I would say 98% of those were gone, and I would assume that the tenants took them down. The other big problem that we've had that most of them have all been remedied is padlocking means of egress out. Front doors, back doors, screwing them shut. He had many of the windows that would be considered by code as means of egress. He had those, he or whomever, they had them boarded up shut. The doors in that would be the second door would be screwed shut. Most all of those, to my knowledge, when I was there yesterday, were all unscrewed at this time. They also, at the front door, from what I was told by them, they would put, you know, hasps and locks on the outside of the doors for when people would leave. Unfortunately, in code, it doesn't say you just because you leave, you can put a padlock on your door and be able to move on. You can put an additional locking device on there, such as a key and a hasp, or a key and a thumb turn, but you can't put something on that somebody cannot be from the inside getting out, even if you're not there, unless it's your own property. If it's your own property, you can do what you want, but in the event of a piece of property that Mr. Giuffrutti owns and is renting to somebody else, he has to make that accessibility has to be made available. If they decide to screw it shut, it doesn't matter. That's his responsibility to make sure that those means of egress of people have the ability to get out for their safety.
All right. Well, then, with regard to any specific units, as we go forward, if there is an urgent concern over life safety, then typically what we've done historically is give the property owner 2 or 3 days to bring those issues into compliance. So I'll look to you people to let me know if and when that's the case. Okay.
Ms. Fucuzzo, before you continue, I just want to reiterate one point. A licensed contractor needs to obtain all of these permits that are going to be required to make all of these repairs. I've already heard Mr. Dravuti state that a lot of electrical work has been done, a lot of plumbing work has been done. He knows all of this work needs to be done by a licensed contractor and permitted. So I just want to remind him of that.
Okay. All right. Are we up to page 23 now?
Yes. We have the March 7th order
for page 22.
Correcting.
We're bringing everything into compliance on 105 Alice. All right, the next one is 110 Peyton Lane, case number 23. Mr. Jaffruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in this notice of violation?
Remove all dirt and grime from exterior surface repaint as needed. It's been done.
He was asking you if you agreed.
Oh, so the previous one?
With regard to 110 Peyton Lane.
Correct.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred?
They did exist or occur, but they have been corrected.
Fine. I finally responded to non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffruti, how much time are you going to require to bring these items into compliance? You tell me they're already in compliance?
They're already in compliance.
And all you need to do is ask for an inspection.
Right.
I would just urge you to err on the side of caution and make sure you really are in compliance.
All right. So then let's do the next cutoff.
All right. Then I will order the respondent to come with regard to case 23 to come into compliance by March 7, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 24. 10 Allison Lane, trailer 111. Mr. Jaffruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take to come into compliance?
The net's cut off.
Mr. Jaffruti, the inspector thinks you ought to be able to take care of this one by March 7th. What do you say?
Once again, I'd ask for 90 days. We're getting into windows and structures like that.
Okay.
Does not mean I won't get them done sooner.
All right, I'm ordering the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 25, 10 Allison Lane, trailer 113. Mr. Jaffruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in this notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for Mr. Jaffruti to come into compliance?
The next cut off.
Mr. Jaffruti, how much time do you think you're going to require to come into compliance?
I'm already in compliance, so I'm going to go with your advice. That's 30 days.
All right, then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by March 7, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 26, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 111. Mr. Jaffruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
They existed in their compliance, so 30 days.
All right, now I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, he's suggesting the next cutoff. Is that acceptable to you?
Yes, sir.
And I will order the respondent to come into compliance by March 7, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 27, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 121. Mr. Jaffruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I responded to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next hour.
Mr. Jaffruti, how much time to come into compliance?
Once again, since we're dealing with inoperable windows and so forth, I would request 90 days.
All right, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 28, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 123. Mr. Jaffruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should be required for Mr. Jaffruti to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffruti, how much time do you think it's going to take for me to come into compliance?
I'm going to request 90 days.
Okay. Mr. Fire Inspector.
This is the one property I was unable to get into, so I have no idea if the smoke detector even operates in this trailer. So, unable to get in any kind of access when I was there yesterday. And prior to that, there was no smoke detector at that time.
Okay.
They do not have keys to these properties, so unless the individuals are actually home, you know.
This is 125.
Yep.
Madison, not Allison.
This is 120, trailer 123. On 10 Allison Lane.
My apologies. Wrong one.
Okay. All right, so I'm sorry, where were we? You're talking the 30 days or the 90 days?
90.
All right, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 29. 10 Allison Lane, trailer 125. Mr. Jaffruti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffruti, how much time to come into compliance?
90 days.
Mr. Fire Inspector, did you want to be heard on this?
This was the property. Sorry, I was one beforehand. This is the property I was unable to gain access for with regards to the smoke detector. Yes. Yes, it was. This is the one that's the lady that was not there. So. I have
10 Allison Lane, trailer 125.
Mm-hmm. Allison. I've got it written down as Allison. 125 Allison.
Here's the border of Madison.
That helps.
They're all listed as Allison Lane.
Which one is this?
Madison.
Madison.
We're showing 125 Madison.
Okay.
You didn't give it to one that was 125. That was a.
Okay, I have two 125s.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is number 33. That has trailer number, case number 33, of 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 125,
rear.
The rear.
Okay, so it looks like this is the Madison Avenue side.
Is this Madison Avenue, or is this? This is Madison in yours.
This is Madison.
This is Madison, then mine's not Madison, but I took it as Allison. Because in the thing here, this shows the one that
right,
we're on.
It's just from the confusion of the address. It's just the
which one?
We are looking at
29. Right.
The one he's trying to get to is this.
So no. This is in the rear. This is on the back side of the
box. So that's
what the is my door.
Right. This is that, right? For the fence?
Yes.
Who, for me?
Yeah. When you got that, yes, sir.
The Madison side or the Allison side?
Allison side.
I didn't. For 125, correct. And 125 Madison I got in, 125 Allison I did not.
Right, correct.
Okay, just for my edification, when we're referring to Madison, I'm assuming we're talking about the north side of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you keep talking Allison, I assume you're talking about the 125 at the south side of the property?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Correct, for myself. That's what I'm talking about.
This is
10 Allison Lane, trailer number 125. Are we in agreement we're talking about the one on the Madison side?
That is correct.
Madison's Act.
Right, Mr. Gibberdy? I understand.
Okay, so that's not, we're just talking about...
Mr. Gibberdy, we're in agreement that we're talking about the 125 near Madison.
Yes.
All right. Where were we on this?
90 days.
Okay, and...
We were trying to figure out if there were life safety issues.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm ordering the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 3010, Allison Lane, trailer 102. Mr. Gibberdy, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Gibberdy, how much time to come into compliance?
I'm going
to
request 90 days again.
Again, because of the windows?
The windows, yep.
All right, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 3110, Allison Lane, trailer 129. Mr. Gibberdy, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Gibberdy, how much time do you need to come into compliance?
90 days as a result of the windows.
All right, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 3210, Allison Lane, trailer 103. Mr. Gibberdy, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Gibberdy, how much time to come into compliance?
90 days.
Pardon?
90 days.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 3310, Allison Lane, trailer 125, rear. Sounds like the one we've been calling Allison. Appears to be on the south side of the property. Mr. Gibberdy, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next.
Mr. Gibberdy, how much time to come into compliance?
90 days.
All right, and Mr. Fire Inspector, you did not get a chance to inspect this unit?
No, I did not.
And your concern is that the, your concern is whether or not the smoke alarms and what have you are present and working?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
It's, the smoke detector is in there, installed. We can make arrangements when, as soon as he wants. Usually they're late in the afternoon.
Okay, I'm going to order that the respondent be in compliance with regard to the smoke alarms within 7 days of this date, that would be February 21, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And further order with regard to the remainder of the items, the respondent be in compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So we've got a week. We've got our fire inspector in there, confirmed that everything's fine, mm-hmm. and or fix whatever needs to be fixed with regard to the smoke alarms. Case number 34. 10 Allison Lane, trailer 127, says rear. Mr. Gibberdy, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Gibberdy, how much time to come into compliance?
90 days.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 35, 10 Allison Lane, trailer 129 rear. Mr. Jaffrutti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred in the state of the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you come to compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time do you come into compliance?
90 days.
Will the respondent come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day or hour? Case number 36, 10 Allison Lane, trailer 131, rear. Mr. Jaffrutti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
Next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time to come into compliance?
90 days.
Pardon?
90 days.
Order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 37, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 133, rear. Mr. Jaffrutti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
Find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time do you come into compliance?
90 days.
Order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 38, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 135, west end of park. Mr. Jaffrutti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you come into compliance?
Next
up. Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time do you come into compliance?
90 days.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 39, 10 Allison Lane. Trailer number 115, rear south. Mr. Jaffrutti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time to come into compliance?
90 days.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 40, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 117, rear south side of property. Mr. Jaffrutti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to commit to compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time to commit to compliance?
90 days.
Order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 41, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 101, southeast corner of property. Mr. Jaffrutti, you believe these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance? Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time to come into compliance?
90 days.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 42, 127 Madison Avenue, trailer number 127. Mr. Jaffrutti, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to commit to compliance?
The next cutoff.
Mr. Jaffrutti, how much time to commit to compliance?
90 days.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by May 2, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, Mr. Fire Inspector, did we overlook any units that you didn't get a chance to look at that I need to consider before we park?
What is labeled as 133 Madison, I was unable to get into either, but I didn't see after going back. Maybe I missed it. I don't know if John, can you help me?
133, that's the blue one on the
Right, but in here, which
West End, it's boarded up, it's not occupied.
No. On the Madison side.
On the Madison
side. Madison side. Madison side, the very...
It's still there.
It's been corrected. We need an extra foot.
That's the only, that was the other trailer I wasn't able to get into, so I couldn't confirm. There was some, an electrical issue in there with regards to the breaker panel spacers in those where kids could get their hands into. That's required under to make sure that kids aren't able to get their fingers in there, and wanted to check for the smoke detector also. Those were the two items on 133 Madison, which I don't know, trying to figure out which one it would be on here. Maybe it's not here. No, but I don't know how you'd have it labeled. So if it's not on here, then we can't do anything.
133? Is that what we're looking for?
133 Madison.
Correct.
I don't see a 133 on the Madison side. Case number 37 was the 133 rear.
No, that's in the back, and based on the map that was provided. 130. I took the 133 is in the Allison. That's in the back corner, which is.
What were you trying to say?
133 Madison Avenue is proper address.
No, the same map that he has is the same map that he has, which is with what you have. So I just.
That's
correct. I didn't say that.
Okay, there's two different ones.
Okay.
Like you said originally, the address issue on all of these are in bad shape. I would suggest that you probably go to the property appraiser with these printouts and get that squared away.
What now?
Your address. The address issues on the property throughout.
Well, I'm a city engineer. I mean, it's been like that for about 2 years. He's going back and saying he's here.
You need to go to the city engineer, obtain a copy of what your proper addressing is at that property. From there, go to the property appraisers and have them update what's listed on the computer, because it doesn't coincide.
Yeah, I've been to Gary several times over this, because it does create problems with FPL and so forth. And he said he didn't send it out.
So well, that's not before me right now.
Yeah.
So... We were talking about a unit that apparently is not in our cases this time around.
Correct, I guess.
So I guess you'll deal with that and we'll talk about it?
Correct, yes, I will. Yes. And with regards to the addresses, I don't know who...
What is the unit you're talking about? You're talking about 133 on the Madison side.
Correct.
So why don't you let them get them in, look at that, and then maybe we don't need to bother with it at all. Mm-hmm. At least as far as smoke detectors go.
No, we'll be in
there. That and the electrical. Right. With regards to the, information for the addresses, I can, I don't think the information has went through all the proper channels. The only reason I speak of that is because when we're dispatched to a call to that location, we're still being dispatched to 646 North Beach Street, not 10 Allison Lane, 105, whatever. So whoever was supposed to send whatever, that has not accomplished or has not happened, so therefore the way, as far as I know, it works, it never made it to the property appraiser, so therefore those changes weren't made.
So I would agree. I notified them several occasions, because even when they go to hook up power, they have a problem. I do agree in that respect, and I do have other correspondence.
I did need clarification on just two issues. One is regarding the issue of occupancy. You had said, and I think I'm going to need to clarify, if the units are currently unoccupied, the laundry, the general list of these violations are violations, at least the allegations are violations of substandard housing, infestation, plumbing, so on and so forth. The city's request is that for those units that are unoccupied, that they remain unoccupied until they're brought into compliance. I don't know, but let me finish my sentence. For the units that are currently under lease or that are currently occupied, that they not be relit upon vacancy. And I'll tell you specifically, and again, speaking with the legal services who have been assisting those tenants who have been trying to exercise what they feel is their rights under law in terms of obtaining repairs and so forth, they're finding that as these people are vacating the properties, that they're being relit even though the conditions have not been lease remedied that have been cited, that he's been cited for. And so that's just an issue of concern. I don't know if there's if who can identify or if it's necessary to identify specifically which is which. I think in general, if they are unoccupied, that they remain unoccupied, and I guess the inspectors would have to go out and determine that. And if they are occupied, that they don't be relit if upon being vacated until they're brought into compliance.
Okay, how many of these units are unoccupied? Or was it just one that we talked about?
It's unoccupied. We've been going in and making repairs, and that's what I was trying to say. You know, just like infestation and so forth. I had the property treated and so forth, and then the fire safety issues, and they didn't bring them up during the time
question
period.
The question was, how many of the units are occupied versus unoccupied?
I believe we're at 100%, correct?
Minus three.
The ones that are not occupiable.
Ones that are not occupied.
Yeah, I mean, the ones we showed, there was one, you know, that was simply we discussed and needed everything.
Right. I remember we talked about one specifically. Is there more than one that's presently unoccupied?
One, two, three. We have three.
What are the other unoccupied ones?
That's it. Three unoccupied.
What are the addresses?
It would be the two that the rear, and one more.
So 128 Allison is unoccupied. What's the other one?
135. Another one, but yeah, we went, I believe we looked at first.
135 and 137 on the west side.
The rear of the property, correct.
So, in addition to the one that we talked about earlier, 128, 135, and 137 are unoccupied.
Correct.
And the city is wanting me to go back now and order that these not be occupied until they're brought into compliance.
Yes, that's correct.
I would agree with them
on
one.
The others not be re-left until they're brought into compliance.
That's correct. That's correct.
No, I would object to that. I mean, they're not to the point where they you know, if somebody's occupying them now, why aren't they, you know, condemned? We went over the safety issues and so forth, so.
Just work on 135, 137, and 128 first. If you have tenants.
Well, they're going to take time. That's, you know, they're not.
What's the cause for the suggestion that he not be allowed to occupy these? I mean, I saw a photo of one that was all boarded up, so I certainly have no problem saying that that one's not going to be occupied until it's brought into compliance, because I could see for myself that it wasn't occupiable right now anyway, since you're not supposed to live in a house full of plywood windows. So that I could understand. So what is the urgency that requires what you're talking about, given the fact that we've already gone through the life safety issues?
And a lot of that's
so what's
been already corrected.
Pardon?
And like I said, a lot of this has already been corrected.
It's not like they're uninhabitable or they're, you know, we went through life safety issues.
Mr. Pekelja, I would say, out of the units that are on the property that are not occupied, should not be occupied until they brought in the complaint. The trailers on the property that are boarded up, those sound like they should be ready to be worked on. He should be able to work on those instantly. So if it's not occupied...
Okay, my point is, I thought we were done with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've brought up a restriction as far as the man's use of his property is concerned. It's brought up at the end after we painstakingly went through every one of these.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I did specifically say would not be occupied was one I could see for myself shouldn't have been occupied until it was brought into compliance. I don't know the condition of 135, 137, and 128. And I'm not quite clear on the urgency or the requirement that they not be relet until they're brought into compliance. They're in compliance now. Or I'm sorry. While they're not in compliance now, they don't have the pressing life safety issues. And the only case in which a life safety issue was brought up, we attended to it. So.
Because the main.
The basis of me telling him they can't be occupied.
The nature of. Well, let me do this first of all. Before. If I can just answer a different question. What I was requested as an alternative to that request. If instead. If we can just request that those units that he intend, well, that's the last thing he's in.
They're living in the house.
Yeah, that's actually the same thing. If you can, you can take it for two. Clarify that for me.
What the city's asking for, or what staff is asking for, is we did go through the entire list of all the trailers. 95% of the list that we went through have all the same common housing violations. Broken windows, plumbing, electrical, the units.
Standard housing as far as I'm concerned.
Correct.
I mean, you can call it whatever you want. I mean, it is what it is. And it's all substandard housing.
Correct.
I'm not here to disparage Mr. Chaffrutti's property, but, you know, so that having been said, but now once he has satisfied the legal minimums that y'all are imposing on him, I'm not quite understanding the further restriction on his right to use his property.
What we're asking is the trailers that are actually now not leased or rented out, before he leases them or rents them, he needs to call for an inspection and ensure that they are in compliance.
He has to do that anyway.
Right. And what we're also saying is, if I live at 126 Allison, trailer number 113, and I leave, then what we're asking is that he cannot rent 113 until he brings it into compliance. At present, there may be a tenant in there, but that tenant may leave. And if the tenant does leave, then he needs to bring that trailer into compliance before he can rent it out again.
Mr. Kelly, if I may...
We already went through that.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Kelly, the issue is that, and I said it and you said it, and that's that we're citing it on the position, the city is citing these properties on position that it's substandard housing, and that no one should be living in it. And that the mere fact that people are living in it, we're conceding that they're living under contract, and so we're not trying to interfere with the existing contracts that are there. But we're asking for the magistrate not to allow future contracting of those units until those units are brought to a minimal living standard, which would be the code requirements that we've cited them for and asking for them to be in compliance with. And we understand that life safety, if there were life safety issues, we would be asking even the people who are there now to vacate if we did not get emergency repair. But what we are asking is that for those units that have the nature violations that we've cited, which are substandard living conditions, that they not be relet with those conditions until those conditions are remedied.
What say Mr. Jafruti?
No, I object to such. We went through that from the beginning. They're living there now. We went through the life safety hazards. It's not, and I told you a lot of this has already been corrected. And they had their opportunity when we first started. And I just think it violates, you know, constitutional rights and so forth. I mean, what their main intent is, obviously.
Mr. Kelton, and I just want to apologize, because the feeling I know you said is that we let this go until the end, but when we had addressed it earlier, you kind of said it would be a running part of all the orders, that there would be no occupancy. But then I thought as we went through, I realized that we actually had occupied units, and that's why I was sought for clarification. But if I can, Mr. Kelton, Ms. Haliski. Community Legal Services may be able to just shed a little light on that concern, in that it's even, at least I believe, a statutory concern as to his ability to re-let these units while they're in this, under this, these orders of the code enforcement.
Okay. The concern that I have in the position, and the position that I've been in is, I'm an attorney, yes. Okay. I was contacted by a number of the residents in the beginning that are there, and a number of these violations are directly addressed in Statute 8351. So the current residents that are living in the units in non-compliance are withholding their rent as the statute allows. And at such time as the unit comes into compliance, it'll be at that time that I will meet with Mr. Jafruti as to that individual client. However, during this process, and because of these violations, as the residents realize that they could do something or at least withhold their rent, they have been attempting to leave the property, and I have a particular instance where a resident did leave the property. The unit had a number of violations that constituted a valid withholding of the rent, and within a week of his leaving, another resident was immediately rented the property, and then with all those non-compliances. So it's that situation where a resident is coming in to a situation that would constitute a breach of a lease agreement and the ability to withhold rent, and actually handing over rent and then being stuck. And, that's what I'm trying to avoid, as opposed to, and code enforcement has been very kind about it, as opposed to, kicking somebody out if the work can be done around somebody already in residence who hasn't left, but it's putting somebody into a unit. And having and paying up front and not being able to get those funds back. So it puts me in a position to have to then go to the court and bring a legal action to get those funds back. So it's not rampant, but it has happened once and almost twice.
Now we're getting to Chapter 83 of the Landlord's
Act. Right, right.
And there was tenants that have served me with 7-day notices, and we have been working on them. When they allow us in, they they have not been depositing the money into the port registry, and they have been continuing to reside on the property.
There's no requirement to deposit money into a court registry when there's no active case.
And once the 7-day notices, they already owed money anyway. Now we're getting to Chapter 83 issues that, you know, should be litigated in court.
Correct.
They continue to reside there, and they continue not to pay rent. Months of 7-day notices, which we have not been able to address, were invalid because they owed me rent beforehand.
Everybody done? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. The answer is no. Okay. And you're actually partially right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're not going to confuse their legal remedies
right.
with the office of the special magistrate. Mm-hmm. Don't talk. We're not going to confuse their legal remedies mm-hmm. or their right to walk away from a substandard living unit. Which they are free to do.
Understand.
With the role of the special magistrate and the scope of his authorities. And that scope is, of course, constrained by not only concerns of the residents, but also the property rights of the landowner.
Mm-hmm.
And so that having been said, I am not inclined to do anything extraordinary, short of the life safety issues that we've already dealt with. Every one of these customers of Mr. Jafridi's is free to walk away. Should they choose to do business there, that's their call. Should Mr. Jafridi choose to do business with them, knowing that he may very well find himself over there at the courthouse, confronted with a panoply of remedies those tenants have, and that's the facts of life, that's his mm-hmm. call. So my point is, that's all private sector dealings, and I don't think it's the role of the special magistrate to be anticipating that and infringing on anyone's rights for the sake of preempting whatever social ills may be occurring out there due to what some may consider to be some substandard housing. So, the long and the short of it is we're done.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Jafridi, don't go anywhere just yet. Okay, I gave you a lot of latitude here.
I fully understand it.
I gave you a lot of latitude here because you said the windows were a big problem, and you volunteered, even though I didn't ask for it, repeatedly, that a lot of this work had already been done.
Yes, it has been.
Okay.
We've been working on it constantly since November 23rd. There's been not a free moment.
All right. I understand. I've heard it all. My point is, you're obviously going to be being scrutinized here. Please put your every effort into getting these into compliance. And I'm also expecting you to get our fire inspector in there, notwithstanding the absence of a specific case, so he can verify that the smoke detectors are in that one unit that the other unit he didn't get to look at.
Mr. Kelly, just reemphasize that this is commercial property and permits must be pulled for all the work that's being done.
I can only assume Mr. Jafridi's hearing was as good as mine, and I hope he's
with the latitude of what requires permits and not does not require permits.
I just have one point of clarification that I needed for the three trailers that you mentioned before that were unoccupied. Are those to remain unoccupied?
Okay. Is somebody going to give me any demonstration or proof as to why those units remain unoccupied?
I will give you demonstration proof because I would never rent anything like that anyway.
Okay, well, that's the one I specifically said would not be utilized until it was brought into compliance.
There's two and
three in that kind of shape?
Yes, three in that kind of shape.
So
I will not.
You will not what?
Rent them. I mean, they're not habitable.
So are you telling me you're not going to rent them until they're in compliance?
Correct, yes. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't put my dog in it.
Okay, let's back up.
I will board it up.
Okay, Amy,
yes,
you would
sir.
Locate. We're talking 128, 135, and 137.
Those are the trailer numbers? Okay. Like one.
Okay.
Case number 20, I have 10 Allison Lane, trailer 137. Is that one of them?
Yes, it is.
And
And then the 135 appears to be the one on the west side, the other one on the west side.
There's two at the end, okay?
Right, that's 135 and 137. It's on the west end.
Here's a map right here. Here's your map.
And the other one's
138,
West End of Park. We are amending that order to specifically provide 135, West End of Park. We are amending that order to specifically provide it's not to be rented, utilized, or occupied until it's brought into compliance. I don't see a 128 on here. 137, case number 20. We are amending that order.
Yes, 135 and 137. I can't even tell you that I have to look at the thing that the
it's going to get easier than that for you. Just trust me on this one. Will you please? Okay, case number 20, we're amending. It'll not be rented, used, or occupied until it's brought into compliance. 135, 137 are not to be rented, used, or occupied until they're brought into compliance. 128 doesn't exist as far as the documentation in front of me, so there's nothing for me to do on that one. Anything anyone else wants to bring up before I race for this gavel? Okay. Well, let me not be so quick. All right, that takes care of our regular agenda. Do we have any? Okay, Mr. Jaffruti, good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, do we have any miscellaneous business to be addressed?
Nope.